are on the way. We pause now at this, the beginning of another council session, to invoke, God, your choicest blessings upon this gathering today. God, I pray that you will place into our minds, our hearts, our mouths, the words, the actions that you would have to come forth in this place today. I thank you, God, that you have allowed us this high privilege of serving the people of Dallas. God, I ask you to allow your spirit to move in this place, to alight upon each and every person here. Strengthen us that we may do your will. Amen.
Thank you. Dr. Garcia, could you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, good morning, everyone. This is Engineers Week, and Mr. Rozanski.
Got a deal. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a proclamation from the city. Whereas the Texas Society of Professional Engineers was founded in 1936, that's very good. That's the year I was born. Whereas the Society of Professional Engineers is a statewide association for engineers in all disciplines and practice areas, and whereas the Texas Society of Professional Engineers has a membership of more than 4,200 people statewide, with about 420 members from the Dallas chapter. And whereas the purpose of the Texas Society of Professional Engineers is to protect the public health, safety, and welfare of promoting the ethical, competent, and licensed practice of engineering to enhance the professional, social, and economic well-being of the engineers and the engineering profession. And whereas the Texas Society of Professional Engineers is dedicated to focusing public attention upon engineering responsibilities and accomplishments for the purpose of attracting qualified persons to the field of engineering. Now, therefore, I, Tom Lempert, Mayor of the City of Dallas, and on behalf of the Dallas City Council, do hereby proclaim February the 17th through the 23rd, 2008, as Engineers Week in Dallas, Texas. I'd like to go up and present it.
Thank you, Mr. Rozanski. You're my counsel.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. If I have 1 minute, on behalf of the Texas Society of Professional Engineers, I thank you, Mr. Rozanski, Mayor, and Council Member, for your recognition of this important week. Engineers Week is an annual national celebration of the engineering profession and the achievements of engineers across all disciplines. Throughout our history, and throughout the history of Dallas, engineers have used their scientific and technical knowledge and skills in creative and innovative ways to fulfill the needs of the citizens of Dallas. Professional engineers have always faced and resolved major technological, environmental, and social challenges that impact our future. From developing new sources of water supply to designing and constructing flood control works that protect the city from devastating floods. From providing solutions to the transportation problems to designing an information superhighway that will help maintain our leadership in the world. More than ever, engineers and their knowledge and skills will be needed to meet the challenges of the future. The Texas Society of Professional Engineers, Greater Dallas Area Chapters, thank you for this honor. And you have a lot of good engineers in your staff, including Jill Jordan and Ramon and Public Works Department. So we're very thankful for what you're doing for us, too. Thank you.
Dr. Garcia.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to congratulate, the Engineers Week. Thank you, Mr. Rosensky, for doing this recognition. And, of course, thank you to all of you. Mr. Novoa, I know that you have been a leader when it comes to work with the City of Dallas. You are an expert in water and many other resources where your knowledge has been instrumental for this city. So I want to thank all of you here today, all the engineers that are here today with us, but in particular to all of you who have helped, sometimes without even charging, to the city for your expertise and knowledge for us to learn. So with that, thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Rosensky, one more time for bringing this proclamation, this presentation. I think it's well-deserved. And, of course, Ms. Jordan has been the leader of many, many projects. So what can we say? Thank you again.
So again, I would echo Dr. Garcia's words. I know not only do you contribute a lot on a professional basis, but as was indicated, an awful lot from a community standpoint. Joe has given an awful lot of hours to the chambers, to the city, and to other organizations, especially in regard to his water work, so we appreciate that.
The bus leaves at 10:30. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a special place in my heart for all females. Really do. That's why when I started that Pull Up Your Pants campaign, it was out of respect for females and the efforts that they do and for our community and our children. But more importantly, we have some very beautiful, we have a couple of beautiful females here and a room full of others, if I want to say that.
How did you get this assignment?
I don't know. I got it.
He gets the best assignment.
That's right. So I'd like to invite to the microphone, first of all, a gentleman by the name of Hunter Daniels. He's executive director of the Miss Dallas Scholarship Organization. Mr. Hunter, would you please come before men before beauty? And also, I'd like to welcome Miss Taylor Grubb. If you would come, she is Miss Dallas County. Let's give Ms. Dallas County a hand. Glittering and everything. And then Miss Corinne Harmon. She is Miss Dallas. Where is Miss Dallas? Well, we got some representation. And then Miss Gator Davis, you need to come on up here, Gator.
Yeah.
Hey, Gator. Now, Gator, you come on over here where I am. Yes, yeah, you got some work. You have some work to do. You know, when these ladies give themselves to the community, they go out and move around and try to show off and heighten and enlighten people's lives. They're in touch with kids. They are role models. They are true examples as to where and you should be able to and how high you can achieve in life. They are putting together and have a scholarship fund, and that's something that we felt that was due of recognition. So I'd like to just take a moment to say the Miss Dallas Scholarship Organization is committed to helping young women achieve excellence by providing positive growth and opportunities and to build confidence.
cultivate skills, promote healthy living, earn scholarships toward scholastic achievement, showcase strength, and serve the community. And that's something that we are doing. And I'll go back and pre-reference the Pull Up Your Pants campaign, because I was asked, well, what about the females? What about the ladies? I said, I'm going to deal with the young guys. I'm going to deal with the boys. But we have ladies that are leading example of what we expect to see in society, and we see that in Miss Dallas and also Miss Dallas County. I thought that it would be proper today just to recognize them and to showcase what we have in Dallas, Texas, that's representing us throughout our community, and hope that it will inspire others to be just as these two are. So I'm not going to go through all of the whereas, but I want you all to know that this is a special recognition for you all today and your committed effort. And Hannah, we appreciate you for being the founder and the lead of the organization and taking it upon yourself to put your efforts out front on behalf of society and the new generation that's coming behind us, all right? So I'd like to say welcome and thank you. And Gaither, you brought them here to us, and I always want you all to know about Gaither. Gaither is involved in so much. Yeah, she's a stage mom. She is a stage mom. So with that, Hannah, you all, Miss Dallas and Miss Dallas County, you all welcome and congratulations.
Thank you very much.
All right. Have a word, huh?
We'll get that to y'all for a second.
Yeah.
How you doing? As much as I do mock interviews and help prepare them for, you know, public appearances, you think I'd be a little better
y'all
at
get
it.
Y'all get these pitches now.
Come on. But I'm going to turn them over brief. I'm going to let them speak. But I just want to let you know, the Miss Dallas Scholarship Organization, I took over back approximately 1 year ago. We are here to help motivate. We crowned the new title holders. We have them for a year, and they prepare, work with the citizens of the Dallas community, and then they go on to Miss Texas, and they represent. They are still representatives of Dallas and Dallas County at Miss Texas. That will be the first week in July, and they're working very hard to make us as proud as possible there. I am the youngest director in the United States, and not only Texas, but the United States, and it's a passion that I got involved with my sister, and now that she has progressed on past doing this, I started doing this with another group of young ladies, and I adopt them for the years. But I tell them, when you come in, you have me more than just a director; you have me as a brother in a sense. I'm too old to be their dad just quite yet. But we're missing one. Hadley Smith is Miss Teen Dallas. Her school wouldn't allow her to get out. She's a sophomore in high school. So we had one missing, but we had three title holders who work and very proud to make each citizen of Dallas happy during the week of Miss Texas. They're here. If there's any form of communication or involvement that you need them within the city, we're here to be as active as possible. They all have their own personal platforms. I want to let them tell you about that just briefly, because I know you have a full agenda. But thank you so much for the honor, Mr. Caraway. Thank you, Ms. Davis, for getting us here. Thank you, Mr. Leppard. That was our Christmas card. We tried to mail one to each of you. I hope you did receive it. They wanted to introduce themselves one way to get a picture. But thank you for having us today, and I'll let Ms. Corinne give you just a few minutes of our time.
Hi, I'm Corinne Harmon. That's Dallas. Thank you, because that's definitely too high for me, because I'm a little short. My platform is Fed Up Eating Disorder Awareness and Prevention, and that's really important to me because I really get to speak, especially to young women, but also to young men, about the societal pressures that come into looking a certain way and what that does to us and our self-esteem and our body image and the negative effects that can come from that. So it's really important for me, especially, to be representing such a great city as Dallas and to have all those people to get to speak to and have that opportunity. And it's such a pleasure for me to be here today, and I really appreciate you guys having us and to lend against your ears and lending us your time. So thank you again so very much, Mr. Mayor and Mr. Caraway.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Let me get this picture. Wait a minute. Oh, no, I was told to be the cameraman. What are you talking about?
You have to come forward a little bit. Wait. You have to come forward.
We didn't have this for the mayor.
I don't think we get that.
One part I was going to remind, Mr. Caraway has put together the team summit, which I know most of you know that he's very active in, and Ms. Gaither doing all the work in. Well, they've invited us to be a part of this week's, or this month, February, which happens to fall this weekend, where this the title of this month is Step into the Spotlight, Showcase Your Talent. And we have numerous guest speakers. We have about 9 speakers that are coming to help motivate the citizens, but now we're talking about the teens and the youth of Dallas to protect yourself in a positive way, to take that first step into the spotlight, because there's so many students and teens that we have in Texas and Dallas that have vocal abilities. There's, you know, your next supermodel. There may be the next Miss America out there, and these might be the young ladies that help motivate that person to make that first step, because, you know, the darkness can be a scary step to take, and sometimes someone who has done that to tell you, like, here's the first place, the first thing you can do, you know, helps you along the way. So we're very, very excited to be a part of this week, or this month's Teen Summit.
Thank you.
Because I'm extremely vertically challenged, thank you. Good morning, my name is Taylor Grubb. I'm Miss Dallas County 2008. And first of all, I just want to say thank you so much for allowing us some of your time from your busy, chaotic, hectic schedule. My platform is Connecting America, supporting our troops, supporting their families. I come from a military home. My father is a retired Marine. And my platform is very close to my heart because I've seen and lived through the ordeals that children have to go through with having a family member in the service. So reaching out any sort of way possible, I'd love to be incorporated with anything that's going on. I live in Fort Worth, and the family and just people from the military base out there do live in the Dallas area, so I'd love to use my platform to reach out to these people that live in this area. And again, thank you so much for your time. Being a part of this organization, it means so much to me to go out and help others and be a part of their lives in any way possible. It's an amazing feeling, so thank you.
Thank you, Nadir, Dave, Jeff, Ms. Madrona, Ms. Coop, Ms. Salazar, Councilwoman Garcia, Mr. Mayor.
Notice I got invited to the engineer's picture right away, but it wasn't until late on this one. Newman, can I turn it to you?
Yes. Ms. Edna, come on up. You get a second time first. Come on up here. Mayor, council members, it indeed is my pleasure to recognize a pivotal leader in our community, Edna Dean Pemberton, and we're going to be awarding her a special recognition today. Edna may live in District 3, may live in the Mountain Creek Wood Sugarberry area, but she's a citizen and active throughout the city of Dallas. Whereas Edna Pemberton has been a lifelong dedicated volunteer Dallas resident for over 20 years and a resident of the Wood Sugarberry neighborhood within Mountain Creek. Whereas after retiring after 29 years of service with Kmart, Blue Light Specials, you remember that? I remember when, Ms. Pemberton dedicated her life and spirit to volunteering for others. Whereas Ms. Pemberton has been a key organizer in many organizations such as Community Drive for Clothes, Furniture, Food, over a span of 9 years, an organization enclosed over 64,000 needy families. Whereas in 1990, Ms. Pemberton also organized the Oak Cliff Concerned Citizens Against Crime, a group that wrote the Teen Curfew Ordinance, which became a national example for cities to model after. Whereas Ms. Pemberton volunteered for a total of 14 weeks to assist over 51,000 Hurricane Katrina and Rita evacuees in organizing clothing, housing, shelter, food, while mobilizing 76 nonprofit organizations. Whereas Ms. Pemberton volunteers on a daily basis at the Dallas Quick Response Center, which partners with many notable organizations in Dallas. Again, all outside of District 3. We'd like to keep her just in the district, but we can't seem to. Whereas Ms. Pemberton currently serves as president of the Wood Sugarberry Neighborhood Crime Watch in Mountain Creek area of District 3, where she is passionate about involving others in taking care of her neighborhood. Whereas Ms. Pemberton may live in Mountain Creek area of District 3, however, it's evident that she dedicated her life to volunteerism throughout the city of Dallas and citizens of Dallas. Now, therefore, I, Dave Newman, on behalf of our mayor, Tom Leppard, and the Dallas City Council, do hereby extend a special recognition to Edna Dean Pemberton for her commitment to the Wood Sugarberry neighborhood within Mountain Creek and for all the citizens of Dallas. Please join me in congratulating Edna.
To the Honorable Mayor and to my city council and to everybody else who I worry, I accept this and thank you for the opportunity. I believe that every time you receive an award, it's a challenge to do better. I accept this because about 3 years ago, my best partner, Reverend Darnell Pemberton, God called him home, but the work must continue. I accept this upon all the work that we do with the community and all the city councils, and even the city staff, Ryan Evans, that permit me to worry him. You know, I always have a dream. Martin Luther King was not the only one to have a dream. And I have a dream about Dallas, and we work towards our dreams. So I want to thank my city council person that I can call. He's my 911 and everybody else. So on behalf of the community, my church, and the work that I do, I accept this and thank you. And I'm humbled. We fussed about this. I say, you know, I don't do things for awards. I do things as a way of life. And I think that's what we need to do, and I appreciate this. And thank you, Mayor. Thank you, City Council. And thank you, my council, for this outstanding tribute. Thank you.
Mayor? Mayor?
Okay, Ms. Pemberton, just stay there because
right.
There are several people that want to talk to you. So let's go ahead and start. Judge Hill, then Mr. Atkins, then Mr. Cowan.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ms. Pemberton, I want to say to you for myself and the citizens of District 5, we thank you for all that you do. We thank you for being positively Oak Cliff. You have been for a long time, and you do so much for the community. It's just amazing how you continue to carry on. Also, thank you for the time that your husband spent leading the Boy Scout troop. God bless you.
Mr. Atkins and Mr. Cowan.
Edna, Ms. Pemberton, that you're like a mother to me, Donnell, like a father. We had a hard time. We went through the city, the southern sector, Hollywood, Oak Cliff. But Dave, she don't long to you. In the next 6 months, she's moving back to District 8. So let's give her for that glow for a short time. Thank you.
Thank you. And let me just say, Dave, as relates to Ms. Pemberton, and Ms. Pemberton, we go way back. And she and her late husband were teammates. I've seen a lot of folks, some ladies, to lose their teammate. Lady Bird Johnson, Miss Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Miss Coretta Scott King, and I say that because there are others, but they all had a teammate, and they were left by themselves, but they still carried the legacy of their partner. And Miss Pemberton, you're to be commended. We see you still going without Reverend Pemberton, and you're still carrying the banner, and you're carrying it and waving it even higher. And he's looking down at you, proud of you. I just want to say that to you, and that we're proud of you. And Dave, you couldn't have never picked a better person to recognize, because when it comes to our community, regardless of which side it may be, and regardless of how hot the fire may be or how controversial it may be, I don't know how, but Ms. Pemberton always finds herself being one of the flames of that fire, working on the positive side for our community. So I just want to recognize that to you, Ms. Pemberton, personally and publicly, to let you know and the world know that we appreciate you. We want you to keep up the good work, and just Godspeed, all right? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem. Ms. Pemberton, what can I say about you? You have been an instrumental in anything that has to be, that has been done in the service sector and all over the city of Dallas to better the quality of life of everyone. You have raised above race, about, you know, race on politics. You've always been a positive force, and thank you, Mr. Newman, for recognizing me and affirming return. And of course, Ms. Pemberton, to you, thank you for allowing us to be part of your dream for the city of Dallas, a vision and a dream that is for positive change. My heart will always be with you. I know that we go a long, long time back, and I appreciate all you've done for our city. Thank you.
Edna, thank you so much for everything that you've done, and I know you'll continue to. You are one of the bright lights in Dallas. No matter where I am, you always seem to be there with a smile on your face. And as you said, doing it just for the good of Dallas and for the community, no personal agenda. And then everybody recognizes that, and they thank you. You are a real asset in this city. Thank you so very much. Thank you. Let me take just a moment to kind of go through the agenda so that you get a sense, given that we'll recess and then reconvene this evening. It is 9:30 or so. We'll go through, as is customary, our open microphone speakers for the morning. Then we will recess later on this morning, and then we'll pick up our closing microphone speakers at the end of our session this evening. Again, we'll go through the morning session, and we'll pick it back up at 6:30 this evening at the airport. Then, help me out, Deborah.
Okay. On your agenda, you have open microphone speakers at the end of the meeting here as well. So we'll have to go through those, Mayor.
Okay.
But you only have afternoon speakers at the 6:30 meeting.
At the
yes,
end
sir.
Of it. Yeah. And we are going to be challenged for time today. 9:32, by the time we go through that, we're going to have an executive session before we break. It's the desire of a number of council people to break at 11:30 today. So realistically, I think 11:15. So realistically, I think we'll get through the first briefing. We may not get to the second one. That may have to be rescheduled. But that will give you a sense. And then, of course, that we'll be at the executive airport this evening at 6:30. So with that, can we go through our speakers, Madam Secretary?
Thank you. Good morning. Your first speaker this morning is Tony Rios, followed by Neely Kerr. I'll first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending city council meetings shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the city council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane or slanderous remarks or who become boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if the Sergeant-at-Arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. You have 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice on the two screens that you have a three-minute timer. At 30 seconds, the numbers will turn amber, and then you'll see that the numbers will then turn red. That means your time is up, so please stop speaking. So please state your name for the record.
My name is Tony Rios. I live at 5239 Clover Haven, Dallas, Texas, 75227. Honorable Mayor, distinguished council members, I wish to relay my experience regarding the appointment of boards and commissions by the council members and to dispel the myth that there are no qualified applicants. A few weeks ago, the Dallas Morning News ran a story about council members that are not filling these positions. This took me by surprise, since I requested twice that my District 7 council member consider myself for a board appointment or a commission. Initially, I was told I must fill out the information online through the City of Dallas website. I completed that process, but I did not hear from my council member. I then made an effort to meet with my council member at the Martin Luther King 16th of September celebration of Hispanic Heritage. In my attempt to discuss this with my council member, she said that she had to attend another function and had to leave. But on her way out, she told me that all her appointments had been filled. That was in September. Although I was disappointed, I asked her to consider my help at any time. The Dallas Morning News ran a story about council members' lack of appointing citizens. Some of the problems stem from the lack of experience and credentials. I do not know my council member personally, but when she came to my homeowners association, I was impressed and voted for her. Now I'm disappointed in myself for my naivety and hoping that holding positions vacant for favoritism or other reasons was in the past. I live in East Dallas, in the Buckner Terrace area. I lived in this community for over 25 years. I have enjoyed Dallas's growth. I was around with it when the West End was just a thought, when the Art Museum was housed in Fair Park, and the Symphony was heard in the Music Center. I graduated from University of Texas at Dallas in 1984, received my master's degree at University of Texas in 1994 in public affairs. I take DART when I can, and I believe in improving the urban core. Members, in summary, I understand the value of participatory government and the democratic process. I studied it. Ms. Davis, I do not live in South Dallas, but I do live in your district. I have supported the South Dallas Cultural Center, the important revitalization of the community with tax incremental financing district for Fraser Courts, and the Trinity River efforts. You are not alone, Ms. Davis. You can have help from all sectors of your 84,000 people in your district. If I'm not qualified, a simple letter advising me of such would be nice. Not because your district is changing, but closing to the doors to those of us who want to help could be an unwise thing. Remember, we the people are powerful words. Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council, for your time.
Yes, thank you, Tony, for coming up to speak. Tony did meet with me at the Martin Luther King Center and stated that he would like to sit on the board and commission. I did tell him at that particular time the board, I had three positions available, and one of them, Tony, was the Board of Adjustment. Do you still want to be a part of that?
Sure. I'm not here for my resume. I'm here to make awareness of the community.
I understand. So I did tell him that we had three vacancies open, and one of them was the Board of Adjustment, the Youth Commission, and the Landmark Commission. And on the Landmark Commission, it has certain qualifications for the Landmark Commission. And if he was interested in either the Board of Adjustment or the Landmark Commission, to get with me. So Tony, I will meet with you in 5 minutes, I do welcome my district. I do welcome individuals in my district to participate participate. My doors are open to you. My phone number is open to you, Tony, and I commend you for coming down here as a citizen to speak what you feel, your heart, and I'm here to work with you and for you. So I got two positions open. I really need someone on that Board of Adjustment, and if you can take that, I will be honored. Okay? Thank you so much.
Why don't you get with him later? That'd be appreciated.
Thank you. Your next speaker is Nellie Kerr.
Sister Salazar.
Just briefly for the council members, a point of information. In your packets you received, dated February 15th, your board and commission members' assignments that you have already submitted and voted on, it breaks it down for you in case you're looking at how you can make your district reflect the communities that you you serve in the city of Dallas, and it breaks it down by ethnicity, gender, and I urge you to look at it, and as you look to fill appointments, see where maybe you're lacking in your council district from having representatives who may not look like you, but certainly live in your district, work in the district, and vote for each and one of us to make sure that our boards and commissions reflect the city of Dallas. So I just want to bring that to your attention.
Your next speaker is Nellie Kerr, followed by Charles Goodson.
My name is Nellie Kerr. I live at 2306 Milmore Drive, District 7. My plea to you today concerns the incorporation of a pedestrian underpass at Interstate 30, just west of White Rock Creek, bordering the south side of Samuel Boulevard and Tennyson Memorial Park. This involves the TxDOT plan known as the Eastern Corridor Project. This stretches from Santiago Calatrava Bridge east to Highway 190. Some history is in order here. Big Town Mall, the first in the southwest, opened in 1959 and was east of what became Interstate 30. When these new interstate highways opened, cities across the U.S. realized that while wonderful, they were simultaneously dividing and draining communities. What we formulated in Dallas at the time to combat this was called the Goals for Dallas Plan. It was published in 1969 in book form with a Library of Congress number assigned to it. One of many things it recommended was the acquisition of White Rock Creek, part of which was to reconnect across Interstate 30. Don't forget, at that point, we had already been decades struggling with Mill Creek, located not far to the west. Since then, the Interstate 30 has been listed on numerous initial reports, such as the one for the South Dallas Development Corporation, as a line of demarcation in East Dallas. Now, when Interstate 30 was constructed, an open gap was left at the western toe of the slope for the rail line which crosses Tennyson. I'm giving you a current aerial photo of the area in question from the Dallas County website. This will illustrate who has been getting their way all these years, and it ain't the good guys. You will notice that the building at 3634 Samuel Boulevard was illegally constructed across property lines about 50 years ago. Since then, they have constructed an asphalt parking lot on their east side, illegally crossing the property line, and now have what amounts to a junkyard at said parking lot. HNTB, the world-class planning company, has been involved in the Eastern Corridor study. Meanwhile, they have been involved in the separate Samuel Boulevard project. I called TxDOT to inquire how the part of Samuel Boulevard under I-30 was able to move forward. They said that because of my constant nagging, they were aware of my pedestrian trail proposal under I-30 and said that the lesson here was as long as we stayed at grade and out of the way, we could begin tomorrow, but there was no official sponsor. They have also said at presentations that after the additional lanes are in place on I-30, things will be so tight that we will have sealed the fate of future generations. Fort Worth, in order to reconnect their central business district, moved Interstate 30. All I'm asking for is the preservation of an existing gap for an easy, cheap, immediate pedestrian linkage. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Next speaker, Charles Goodson, followed by Bobby Johnson. Please state your name for the record.
Charles Goodson. I'm 7937 Wishaw Drive, Dallas, Texas, 75232. We the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense are here today to send a message to all the chiefs, all the 3,000 officers that patrol the community. The new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense is not no punk-ass organization. We want to send that message. I number 7 of our 9 local objectives. We strive with the community residents to reclaim and clean up our community, block by block. That's when the police officers, when y'all see us in the community patrolling, leave us the hell alone when we patrol our community. I want to send that message. All the chiefs that's back there, all the officers that's under them,
sir, I appreciate you being with us.
Yes, sir.
But in terms of the language,
okay,
just watch the language.
Okay, please. Sir, this must be said. These officers.
I want you to say it. I just want you to control the language. Thank you.
We strive with the community residents to reclaim and clean up our community, block by block. We organize patrols. Listen to what I'm saying. We're organizing patrols in our community. I'm sorry, sir, but this must be said. We organize patrols in our community. We have community events and programs to reclaim our neighborhood. We feed and clothe the homeless with community support and always work with the downtrodden in society. Number 7 on my 10-point platform program says we want immediate end to harassment and brutality of the people. We want immediate end and brutality of the people. So when you see us patrolling, I'm sending a message particularly to Chief Easterly, who has had a meeting about the new Black Panther Party for self-defense patrolling our community, and her officers have a problem with us patrolling the community. We're here today to send a message to them. Don't have no damn meeting about the new Black Panther Party and patrolling our community. That's the message that we have to say. And you better pay attention, you better listen. Che Guevara said there's only 2 ways to be the battlefield, and it's not the big boys today. We'll let y'all decide.
Your next speaker.
Mr. Atkins.
Mr. Goosen. Mr. Goosen. Is Charlie Goosen, is that who's just spoke?
Sir?
Your name is Mr. Goosen, right?
Yes, sir.
Speak up to the mic, sir. Please. You were speaking on the subject of the crossing guard at Lane Middle School?
No, sir.
Oh, you're not speaking
on
the
subject?
You are. Okay.
I think you're harassed by the police.
Okay.
Send a message to these guys back here.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you. Secretary.
Your next speak.
I'm sorry, Ms. Davis.
I had a concerning the crossing guard over at Harold Lane Middle School.
I think that's the next speaker.
That's the
next speaker.
Okay.
Madam Secretary.
The next speaker is Bobby Johnson, followed by Judy Warren.
All right. My concern is over that 1600 block of DeLito and Chestnut, whatever the name is, there is no crossing guard. There's no 20-mile-hour speed zone there, right there at Harold Lane Junior High School, which is ludicrous because, one, as I was out there, I seen 2 kids almost get hit. One almost got hit by a truck. And then I called the school board, and they say, it's up to the city council meeting, the city or whatever. So I'm here to understand why is there no school zones there, and I'm having to get out here, stop these cars, and then teachers come out there with us to come and try to stop cars from hitting these children, and this school has been up since August. It has been up and running since August, and there's no signs for no speed zones and nothing. Now, if there's nothing did about it, me and my comrades of the New Black Panther Party will take different measures to get it there, and it will be did.
Let me go to Mr. Caraway, Mr. Atkins, and Ms. Davis.
Okay. Okay, let me.
It is Karen Dixon.
Okay. Well, hold on. It's my microphone. Let everybody get some order in here for just a moment. I understand it's your district, Ms. Davis. I'm about to ask the question. How many others do we have to speak? You're the last.
Yeah, I'm the last
okay.
one.
All right. Let me yield to Ms. Davis, and then I'll follow Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem. First of all, Mr. Johnson, I had a town hall meeting Saturday, and we had the officer for that who handles crossing guards and making sure that we deal with speed bumps and the whole 9 yards, especially crossing guards. What he told us is that the parents are stopping in the middle of the street. That's one of the problems.
parents are stopping in the middle of the street, letting their kids out of the car without them being with them. So when the kid crosses, when a kid get out of the car, the kid goes in front of the car to try to get across the street. Number two, they are going to be meeting, meaning the police department is going to be meeting with the school and the principal to try to work some other ways of making sure that they can handle that situation. The first thing is that crossing guards are not given in middle schools.
Well,
let me finish. Let me finish. It's a lot. I didn't write the law. Crossing guards are not given in middle school. And because the sixth graders are, even though the sixth and seventh and eighth graders, crossing guards are not given in middle school. I asked the question why at the town hall meeting that I had at Onwood United Methodist Church on Saturday. Had about 75 people there. The crossing guard was on the agenda. And one of the reasons is because they feel that middle school students are old enough and responsible enough to be able to cross the street. Now, what I did in this meeting, I am going to set up a meeting with our school board representative, Ron Price. We're going to meet with the principal, and we're going to meet with the necessary police department to see how we can handle this situation. Now, if it does not get any better, and we see that there is going to cause some more harm or whatever, then I'm going to ask that we put a crossing guard at that intersection. Okay?
Okay, evidently I was not heard. There is no 20-mile-hour speed zone there.
We asked that question,
you,
too.
You just went all over that. You said
no,
you're talking about they getting in the street.
It's not a debate.
There is, what happened was, the police officer did say that there is a school zone tag there. It's not read at the school, but there is one there, 20 miles.
I have a camera right there.
And what I'm going to do, I am going to drive out there myself with the police department, and I'm going to see for my own eyes. I will take pictures, and I will see where the speed sign is at. But the officer did tell me at the town hall meeting there is a speed sign posted there. Now, the question is a school, is a speed sign posted by the school? That's what I'm going to find out. But they assured me that it was. And so I am working on this matter. I will be looking at this matter, and we'll move forward. Now,
I got it all.
Yeah, okay. All right. Let me have folks' attention, if I can, for just a moment. And to the Panthers, I understand and appreciate everything that you all do. I'm going to ask you all, once I get y'all's attention. All right, but once I get y'all's attention, when y'all get to Ms. Davis, I really just want to talk to all of you. We're going to sit and we're going to have a meeting. Because the way that you can help us help you is that, you know, we have a little pre-conference to try to see what the problem is. And then if indeed it is not addressed, then we, you know, take it to the next level. So what I'm going to ask you all to do, I'm going to come over there and we're going to go out and meet and set up a little time. We can kind of get together and we're going to address all the issues. We're going to let Ms. Davis handle the issues in her district that are your concerns, but then some of the other concerns that you express, then I need to just hear them, and we need to be civil with it so we can understand, and give us the choice to come back in and see how we can address those, okay? But the way that it works now is just a sort of a new direction that we're going now, to where we just might have the tools to address some of the concerns that you all express. So I will say that when we do come, that, and just remind us, because our heart is with the community, we understand that this broadcast does go out all over Dallas, Texas. There are the kids and the elderly folks, so even I have to kind of somewhat control my demeanor, but we still must have a way to make our point. So today we understand it.
Now, I'm going to meet you over there. We're going to go out here. We're going to get it together, and we're going to see what's happening. And next week when y'all come back, then the problems ought to start being addressed. I understand it. But tell me that.
No. It's not in the basement.
But here
it is. You want to make some comments?
All right.
Mr. Carroway,
yes.
You want to make some comments?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Atkins, did you want to make a comment? Mr. Atkins, you have
yes,
the floor.
It's Charles Gooseman out there. Charlie Gooseman.
Charles Goodson?
Charles Gooseman.
Okay. Is that it?
That's it.
Madam Secretary, please.
Your next speaker is Judy Warren. Judy Warren. Judy Warren is not present. Your last speaker for this morning is Jolene Gates Holland. And Ms. Hollins is not present. That concludes your speakers for this morning.
Thank you very much. Again, from an agenda standpoint,
okay,
we'll move to the minutes, then we'll do the briefing. I'll come back before we adjourn for the executive session and pick up the two voting items. And then, as I said earlier, my guess is that we'll have to delay and reschedule the second briefing. With that, the minutes.
Approval of minutes of the February 6, 2008 City Council meeting.
Dr. Garcia made a motion for approval. Mr. Cadane seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. Budget workshop number 3. Mary, do you want to set the stage on that?
Yes, and Dave Cook will be presenting this today. What we're asking you today is to give us the beginning price of government, where we will set the bar for how much the citizens want to spend on government. It is... all of our recommendations are calculated based on having no tax rate increase, and Dave will go through that with you in a minute. But before we start talking about next year's, I want to talk to you a little bit about this year's, and I really need for you to know what's going on this year. Our first quarter sales tax is down about 2%. That's the softening of the economy, we believe. The good news is red light compliance is up. That means that revenues that were expected during budget are down in that area. Gasoline topped to $100 a gallon. That means that our cost for oil, that's all I'm worried about, the gasoline, is going to go up. We see an overall softening in the economy, so we worry about sales tax going out. And all of this we worry about because it's about 5 months into this fiscal year. And if we begin to see trends that we are not going to have adequate revenues, I have to take action soon. So I just need for you to know that. Normally what the types of action we would begin to take would be, you know, reduction or elimination of travel, any travel, review of all planned equipment purchases, and eventually you would go into restricted hiring or slowed hiring. If we had to be more drastic than that, I would have a conversation. We'd come back and have a conversation with you, but I do have some concerns with this budget year and then as we begin to plan for the next budget year, and I wanted you to be aware that I am making plans and talking to our directors and assistant directors about laying out prudent choices. They know their operations best, should we have to make those choices.
I would make a couple of comments on that on the heels of what Mary said. Clearly, I think the fact that we're falling short on the sales revenue is disconcerting at best. I think when you mix that with a view from a national standpoint and look at what's happening, clearly the credit markets are at best in disarray. That, I think, is starting to affect the consumer spending. We are starting to see a jobs number on a national basis that's showing significant weakness and falling below projection. Then we start looking on a regional basis and look at a number of regional economies that clearly are starting to perform at levels that was not anticipated. And at some point, although I think in North Texas here, we are in better shape, and from a housing market, from a jobs creation, those sorts of things than other parts of the market, other parts of the nation, I think the reality of it is that we've got to be realistic. We have to understand that at some point that's going to impact us, so we can't be insulated and total from it. So I think there is some real concerns. We need to be very conscious of the economy, the softening, and how that has a direct impact
on the revenues that we receive and our ability to budget the various services that we provide to the citizens of Dallas. So with that, Mr. Cook. And Mr. Cook, I'm going to have to ask you to move relatively quickly on this. We may have to, and I'll say it right now, we may have to come back and visit this again. And if we need to do that, we will. We're going to have to be out of here in the area of about 10:35, 10:40 to do an executive session on a couple of legal issues that have to be addressed. So again, if we need to, then reschedule this. We'll go ahead and do it, but we'll at least get started.
I'll request that you please get through this today and give us some guidance on this. It is not anything that's etched in stone, but our entire process kind of depends on getting this one. So any help you can give me today on that, I'd be deeply appreciative.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. I will move quickly on page 3, the various steps of our budgeting for outcomes process. In October, council completed step 1, and in January, you met in this room and looked at all of our what the teams had recommended for objectives and strategies, and you made adjustments to those. The key focus area teams have taken that guidance away and are now beginning to work with departments, inviting them to make offers. The squared box in the middle of page 3, the set the overall price of government, is where we are today. As Mary said, it is a preliminary step. There are no final decisions being made today by any stretch of the imagination. On page 4, the price of government is a way to look at it is the percentage of gross personal income. The people are willing to pay a particular level for good quality services. And we have found we've been relatively consistent in the past several years with our price, the revenues that we derive from people in Dallas as compared to gross personal income. Right now, gross personal income in Dallas is in the neighborhood of $60 billion. So we drive off of that and create a percentage when we look at our revenues, the percentage of their gross personal income that's being paid to the city. On page 5, we look at the whole range. Back in 1996, we had a price of government that was 3.68% of gross personal income at that time, and our current year budget is a little bit lower than that, 3.36% of gross personal income. If we used the kind of a somewhat high watermark of that 3.68 and applied that to today's gross personal income, that would derive a price of $2.169 billion, just for comparative purposes. If we looked at our current year budget where we are today, the price of $1.875 billion is 3.36% of the gross personal income. Now you may wonder, that $1.8 billion, $1.9 billion, I thought our budget was $2.6 billion. Well, in this view, the price of government, we're dealing only with the revenues that are coming in. So there are a couple very key things that don't get counted, if you will. The capital budgets. There's a source of funds for the capital budgets, and that's usually issuing bonds, but that's not a revenue. So it's not counted in this picture. When we collect property taxes to pay off those bonds, the property tax is counted as a revenue, though. But for this view, we don't count the capital budget because it would, in essence, be a double count of those funds. Similarly, with many transfers from one fund, one department to another, don't get counted because that would be duplicative. An overall chart of looking at our price comparison from 96 through today. As I said, we were back in 96 about that high watermark of 3.68%. We have crept up a little bit in the last 2-3 years, and I think that's primarily due to our emphasis on public safety and our increases in costs in that area. Therefore, our revenues have had to go up, as well as outside factors like electricity and fuel. On page 7, we start to look at two very different methods of setting a price of government. One is this percentage of personal income. And if we use the 3.68%, the 12-year high, it would yield a price of $2.169 billion when compared to current gross personal income. Or alternatively, using the average over these years of 3.31%, it would be $1.951 billion. If we use, at the bottom of the page, this year, our 08 budget is 3.36. If we applied that same percentage to next year with the growth in gross personal income, it would have a price of $1.98 billion. Turning to page 8 is the second method that we have generally looked at historically, and that is much more revenue-based. And we start with the basis of their current year budget, 07-08 revenues, $1.875 billion. We add to it our expected today, I don't know that it has much basis in science or fact. We have a long way to go to know what our property tax base will be next year. But today we're looking at a 7% growth outlook. If you recall, last year's was about 10.1%, and some years before that were roughly 8%. But we do think there might be a softening, so we're only looking at 7% right now. That will increase revenues by about $46 million. And again, that is with the current tax rate. No adjustment up in the tax rate. We are very suspicious right now of our sales tax, but if we continue our current budgeted growth rate of 4.79, that would increase revenues by $11 million. We last talked about wastewater rates last August and September when we were developing the current budget. At that point, we gave an outlook going into future fiscal years, and we indicated a rate increase of about 10%, 10.2% in water and wastewater revenues, water and wastewater rates, and that would yield about $41 million in revenue. And of course, that's revenue is needed to cover the additional costs inside the water department, capital costs and their growth costs and other things. We also talked last August and September about the sanitation rate. We had an increase this year of 68 cents a month, and our outlook at that time was another 95 cents a month. And one of the key things that's impacting that is the federal minimum wage going up this past July and this coming July, as well as the following July. That'll have an impact on our 08-09 costs. So we have that built in. We have some other net changes there, about $8 million decrease. Overall, looking at the price of government with this method two, it would show a revenue price of about $1.967 billion. So on page 9, we look again at the two methods. The first bullet is method one, $1.98 billion. Method two is the revenue estimate I just covered, $1.967 billion. Very early, very high level, obviously. The budget is very complex, many unknowns. One of the largest pieces is our property tax base. We will not get preliminary values from the appraisal districts until May, and we won't get certified values until the latter part of July. So today we're really operating on a almost a gut feel. Very early, very high level, as I said. We recommend today that we use a starting point for the framework as we build our budget for next year, and we recommend using the lower of these two methods that we've just gone through, $1.967 billion. For some additional information, on page 10, a very different view, but very related obviously, just simply looking at the expenses, focusing on the expected increases and decreases for next year. We expect our police and fire pay plan, implementing the additional steps in that plan that are planned for next year, have a cost impact of about $10 million increase. Continuing our path of adding 200 officers a year, and again, that's adding, growing the force by 200, which means we're probably hiring about 350 or 360. But we're hiring 200 this year, and we're only paying them for part of this year because they're coming on throughout the year. So next year we have to pay those 200 for all 12 months, and next year we plan to hire another 200 throughout the year. Together, that has a cost impact with their uniforms, equipment, vehicles of about $18 million increase. We plan to continue the 2006 bond program, issue and fund projects that have a cost impact of a little over $300 million with this coming budget, and the cost impact on debt service cost is almost $26 million. Our sanitation recycling program, I mentioned the rate increase that we're forecasting, that rate increase is necessary because the costs are going up, $3 million. the water rate increase would be necessary because the water wastewater rates are expected, costs, expenses are expected to increase $42 million. Health benefits, we've been very fortunate in the last several years, not impacting premiums on employees and the city's cost, but we are projecting a 10% increase for both sides, city employees and retirees. Going on down, that list is just an expenditure picture for you. On page 11, we do have a recommendation that today we ask for your guidance, setting the price of government, utilizing the 3.36% of gross personal income. Not utilizing that, but the lower of the alternatives, and 1.967, which is the view that was outlined on the previous page. Again, very preliminary, and we'll have upcoming briefings to give you some progress along the way. Big briefing in June before your July recess, and obviously the recommended budget will come to you in August. Scheduled for adoption after council discussion and potential amendments September 24th. That concludes.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Cook. Mr. Cook, will you help me with a couple of pages, please? Will you help me at page 9?
Yes.
Now help me again with the difference between lines 1 and lines 2, okay, please.
Line 1 is looking at, we've outlined two different methods of determining a price of government. Line 1 is the recap of the first method, and that is simply applying this year's budget that we're in, 07-08, is where our revenues are about 3.36% of the city's gross personal income, all the residents in the city, 3.36% of the gross personal income. We expect gross personal income to go up a little bit next year, and if we apply that same 3.36%, we have a price revenue income of $1.98 billion. That's method number one. Method number two is using this year's budget as a starting point and making the adjustments up and down that were outlined on the detailed chart on page 8.
It's not the budget, Dave, it's the revenues.
I'm sorry, just the revenues.
The revenue
this year, yes, thank you. Just the revenue, we have a starting point this year of 1.875. That excludes the capital budget, like I said. And we expect more tax revenue, keeping the tax rate the same. We expect $46 million more in property tax revenue because we expect valuations to go up 7%. And then the other adjustments on that page, we have a revenue change to 1.967. So that's method number two.
This methodology is based on primarily the fact that there is a certain amount that the citizens are willing to pay for good government. And if you look at the top bullet, looks at as a percentage of their income. Like, you've got a certain amount you'll spend on a car, and you won't spend any more than that because that's what you need. You believe you need to have that level for a car. This is the same way with government. So we've looked at what were the citizens willing to spend last year, and they were willing to spend a little, 3 to 3% of their income on good government. So all we're looking for is a starting point, and we have recommended that you look at that starting point based on what we're projecting the revenues will be. And it's in the ballpark of a little over 3%. Then you can look and see if this is what they're willing to spend, then rank the services and see which services they're willing to spend that on. And that's kind of the premise behind this.
I'll be quick. Go with me to page 11 because I think it's the same question. I think that is what Ms. Soon just went over. Is the 3.6 where you want to start and then project it out to next year?
The 3.36 is this year's budget.
Correct.
Expressed as a percentage of gross personal income.
And then that, if you project that out.
If we project that out, keep that percentage constant, that's method number one, and that comes up with a revenue price of $1.98 billion.
Okay. That's where, Ms. Thum, you're asking to start this year?
No. We're recommending that don't use that methodology. We're recommending use a methodology that says this is what we expect in revenues. Instead of 1.98, it'd be 1.96, and we're recommending that as a starting point.
All right. So we will go the smaller figures,
yes,
and back up to determine what percentage of is that of personal income.
We could do that calculation, yes. It would be slightly below 3.36%.
Flip back to your bar chart, would you, Dave? I don't know what chart. You can see every year the cost as a percent of personal income varies a little bit. And the overall, if you go back in history and you do this to the federal government or local government, either one, when the percentage of your personal income that you spend on government gets too high, normally the citizens throw the rascals out. And when it gets too low, you can see those waves. And so there's kind of almost a thermostat there that says, here's the spending level, and when you get outside of it, the citizens let us know.
Right. I was trying to get to where you were. One way you take the percentage and go forward, the other way you take the amount and go backwards and figure the percentage. Now, last question from me. Do we know what is the overall percentage of gross personal income that citizens are paying for the price of entire government, including local, state, and federal? Do we know that?
Not offhand, no.
We can, the numbers are available, and we can get it for you, yes.
Thank you.
One of the difficulties in that is we'd have to utilize the various school districts. Our city encompasses, I believe it's 12 different school districts, so everybody has a little bit different cost.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cook. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
In different counties, too. Okay, just use DISD in Dallas County. We can do that.
Thank you very much. Mr. Cook, I'm trying to find out, what was our last year budget?
The total budget was a little over $2.6
billion. 2.6. Is that somewhere in our briefing?
No, it isn't, because this setting the price of government is a very different look than looking at our expense authorization. And the biggest difference is the capital budget. When we set the budget, you give us authorization to spend $2.6 billion, but we don't have revenue from the residents of $2.6 billion. For instance, you know, $300 million of the income, if you will, comes from issuing bonds, comes from borrowing. So while we're spending $2.6 billion, we're not taking in that much in revenue. We're bringing in property tax revenue to pay off old bonds, but not money to pay off the new bonds.
The simple answer is this does not include the capital budget. That's the simple answer. It does not include the capital budget.
So
because you determine that when you look at your bond program.
Okay,
so you take it out.
If we look at a price of doing business with the government in Dallas, it's $1.875 billion, 3.36%. But you said our budget was 2.6. Why we don't use what is our current budget? Because the capital.
Because the capital is not included in this, and technically, we started this process 2 years ago. I've got 8 new people that are learning the process. Eventually, I do want to include the capital in this, but we just have not at this juncture. It's been a huge change in how we've looked at our budget.
So going forward, we're going to change back?
No, we're going to include the capital eventually.
Yeah, I think this what we're doing now is just literally step one, which is the operating budget. We'll layer on at a later point, the next step, we'll layer on that capital budget.
So that will probably be the next year budget going to next year budget?
Your capital budget will be included in this process, but your capital budget is already laid out when you did your bond program.
Those 2006.
Right. When you lay out that bond program, you look at how much you're going to spend and where you're going to spend it. And each year has a schedule. We sell bonds in November, and we have a schedule of projects that we meet. So you do a little more long-range planning in your capital than you do on an annual basis in your operating.
And so when we try to do the 2009 or 2010
bond program, yes.
Then we'll go back.
Well, yes. And right, and you at that point you will be planning for 4 to 6 years of expenditures of capital money.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Cooper, please.
Mayor, Dave, help me do this just a second here. Okay, your last year's revenues were $1.8 billion. Then you added approximately in revenues, in potential revenues, $98 million, which equals your bottom total. Then on the next page, wait a minute, hang on a second. On page 10, your expenditures that you think that you're going to have to expend because of hiring more police and so on and so forth is about $127 million. So your delta is $29 million, or somewhere in that ballpark. $30 million
yes,
is your delta.
Yes.
Okay. So how does that fit into your overall calculation if you know you have a delta already of $30 million? Okay, even that you've added these revenues and you've subtracted, you know, the increases, you're still short $30 million. So how does that fit?
We're gonna have to.
I'm sorry.
How does that work? It doesn't fit.
I'm
just telling you right now, we're going to have to work on the budget.
Okay.
For one thing, all those revenues are not sure. They may go up, they may go down. The expenses are not sure.
Okay.
We may not be able to do some of those things. This budget is going to be a challenge.
Okay. So what percentage, just in rough figures, so I don't have my calculator, is that delta of the overall budget? Tell me, you know, is that 1%, 2%? You know, what is it percentage-wise that we're looking at that we're going to have to decrease the budget by in order to balance it?
Well,
right now,
like you said,
given this
roughly $30 million, our general fund budget is a little over $1 billion if we focused it on the general fund, so something a little less than 3%.
Okay, so 3% is what we're looking at. And this year we wanted to have a decrease in taxes coupled on top of that 3%.
No, this figure says no increase in tax. This figure says no increase. There's not a decrease in property taxes in this, but this doesn't figure that gap, as you call it, does not figure a increase in property taxes.
Right. So I guess just for me, simplistically speaking, that if we were looking to have a decrease in taxes, we're looking at 3% right now that we're short, and so we know we're going to have to make that up, so it could be a very good big challenge for us to be able to make a decrease in taxes coupled on top of you're going to have your 3% short already. So, Madam Manager, to you, you're wanting from us today, just to make it simplistically, if we want to go with the price of government or the revenue estimate, and knowing that each one of those is still short 3%, so why can't we reduce that? Either one of those figures still 3% since you're short anyway.
You can do that. And as you remember, all the services are ranked, and then we reach the point of the amount of money we've got to spend, we stop. If you want to do that, you certainly can. It'll just make it much more challenging. I am worried about our revenue projection.
Well, I am too, and so that's what I'm trying to get at.
And
I mean, you're starting from a 3% hole to begin with. So.
I guess I would prefer, I mean, as it changes and as we get updated, I'll be back with you. But this is very preliminary. And if it becomes an issue where I think that we need to be more conservative, we'll come back to you. But you remember in previous years, as we moved along, in, say, June, July, we began to see that the property base was going to be more than we thought. We came back and told you, do you want to hold the line here, or do you want to spend this additional revenue we're getting in? So this is an early shot at what the revenues and expenses will be, so you can draw the line where it'll just make it more
just
challenging.
Just right now, before listening to the rest of the council members, I can be persuaded. I just don't, maybe I don't know enough yet to listening. I'll have to listen. But just, you know, if it was my household, I'd decrease it 3% and then, you know, because I knew that we already had a delta of 3%. Mm-hmm. So that's just me, just being a conservative.
The challenge with that, and some of you have already talked to me about this, is about 2 weeks ago I had a conversation with all my executives and department directors and said, you need to start telling me how you would reduce this year and think about that for next year. And they've already started coming and having conversations with you, and I'm sure your constituents will too. I am comfortable with these numbers that we can make them. It'll be tough, really tough. I guess I would ask you to leave it where we recommend it, and I'll commit to you to do everything I can, but I think these numbers are going to be tough to do.
Well, I'll listen to the rest of the conversation before I make up my mind. That's just my first thought about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think that Mary answered my question. I was concerned about page 8 and the revenues and the ad valorem base. These are all just estimates. And if this goes down...
If this goes down, you'll hear from me.
We'll have a problem, correct?
Yes, and you may have the problem this year. I'm talking about next year. You may have a problem this year. We may have the problem this year.
So if it does go down, then are we looking at a tax rate increase? Or how do you see it?
I will bring you a recommended budget. The instructions I'm operating on is no tax rate increase. And so that's as I'm standing here today, I will bring you a budget with no tax rate increase.
So we're just
if I need to change that, I will come back and tell you and ask you.
So we're just going to have to kick out a lot more from the budget, right?
We're going to have to find we're going to have to find ways to reduce, and it may impact services.
Okay. That's all I had.
Mr. Zeffie. Mr. Mayor, thank you. Colleagues, let me give you some quick history on why we are losing sight of how the budget process works in the city of Dallas. When I came here in 2001, we were doing a budget that did not have zero-based budgeting. And what zero-based budgeting is, of course, is you look at last year's expenditures and you see what they were, and you continue to see if you can work on last year's. You start at zero. What the city council was doing, what staff was doing, they were taking last year's expenses and starting from there. After 2 years, finally got the city to go back to zero-based budgeting, the way we should do a budgeting, where we know what was last year and the year before and what's the proposed issue is now. The only logical way to do a budget, know what you spent last year. This price of government, as Mary said, came up a couple of years ago. Mary, more or less? Mary? 3 years ago. I thought she said two. Whatever it was, 2 or 3 years ago. I don't believe in this type of budget. It keeps less and less from us here at City Council, and it is not transparent. We should be having what these costs were last year and the year before that to see where we can increase spending money or where we can do away with. The industry, the business just doesn't operate this way. There are some statements made today that is really disturbing. Can you believe in this whole process? There's nothing in here that tells us what our total budget is. There's nothing in here. Nothing in here. To now ask me where was it worth the total budget? It's not in here. We're getting less and less showing to the city council about where the money is. We need to do a zero-based budgeting. We need to know. This price of government is a bunch of baloney. We need to know the money, where it's going to, where it's being spent. If we see a figure of a department that spent $214,000, and they want to go to another 14% raise, as a city council, we need to know where that 14% is being spent. If we see a department or services that are 7% less, we want to know if that's going to be hurting the city and the services. I do not approve of a budget like this. Let's go to page 10. It shows increase and decrease. Why didn't we put on there last year's what kind of increase or decrease, or we could tell what it is? I mean, there's nothing here. It just gives us this, say, hey, this is it. And if you want, if you want less or more, and you compare it with an overall, you compare it with 96, the so-called price, And what was that on? Page, Dave, on page 5, you put decrease from 3.6896 to 3.3608, and you took, tell me again, on page 5, what benchmark, well, it's really not a benchmark, but what percentage did you take on page 5?
Utilizing the 3.36%, which is this year's budget as a percentage of gross personal income, applying that same 3.36% to next year's expected gross personal income, that is method number one that we've walked through, and that yields the higher price of 1.98.
The 3.68 is what? Tell me again what the 3.68 is.
That is back in 1996.
Yes.
The chart on page 6 kind of displays that year by year.
Yes.
But that is the city's price, the city's revenue that year compared to that year's gross personal income in the city of Dallas.
Yeah. Well, to me, is that really the way to do it? You didn't take the high year of the revenue.
No, sir. This is year by year.
That's correct.
And we wanted to give a framework of a little bit of history.
There's no way in 45 years of business that I can do a budget without knowing what I spent the prior year, where I need to add, where I need to subtract. This is, to me, shutting out the city council year after year after year, colleagues, on telling us where the money is going. Now, Ms. Soon just told me we are going to be getting that information, but we used to be getting it in depth, department by department, and each department broken down. Yes, it's going to take some extra work for y'all to come up with that, and it's going to take extra work for us to decipher that. But that's our job here. That is our job, to look over this budget and make suggestions, but we can't do it like this. Are those tools going to be available to the city council, department by department,
expenditures,
and when?
Council, you will have available to you not only by department, but by each service within the department. It will tell you how much you're spending. It will tell you how much personnel it takes. It will tell you the goals and objectives that were trying to be achieved the last 2 years and whether they were met or not. You will have information to decide whether you want to expand, contract, or retract every service that we do, not just by department, but by service. You will have in-depth numbers. Any of you that have requested that over the last 3 years by a line item, the staff has prepared it for you and given it to you. So I will let you have any amount of information you need. We are open books, and I welcome your participation in this. We are at the beginning of this process, setting the framework for working within. I need a level number that we can work with. Ms. Coop is right. We just need to decide whether you want to lower it or leave it where it is or raise it, whichever you want to do, and we'll move from there. But I assure you, within your committees, you will be looking at the individual service numbers for each key focus area we have. We'll have lots of detail.
Madam Manager, I appreciate that. That should have been given to us a long time ago.
It's given to you last year.
You put in a criteria in there that if you ask for it, it should be given to us automatically on a line.
It was given to you last year, line by line. And
I asked for it last year, and at the last moment, it was given to us at the last moment, Ms. Soon. This should have been given to us before this. And this price of governance doesn't work unless we really know where our money is going. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Newman?
Thank you, Mayor. Several questions for you, Dave, but I really liked Von Thiel's question as it relates to the cost of taxes on the taxpayer at the state, county, city, federal level, because the staff's presentation to us as it relates to price of government on page 6 is not really relevant when you look at the increases on the school district, the increases in county, the increases in federal taxes, the increases all around us. So I really like that suggestion. Just a second, Mary. So I think that's relevant. Personally,
just clarify, what suggestion are you talking about?
on price, an overall price of government.
Yes. Although the average taxpayer does not calculate, Mary, and we should not be fooled to think that I could take this to a town hall meeting that I was in Stevens Park Village last night with 75 citizens and say, see the chart? You should pay your taxes because I show you a chart. That will float with our citizens. They judge our performance and the city's performance by virtue of the dollars they spend out of their family budget equal to the services they feel. So this is good anecdotal information, but this doesn't really guide me, at least as one council member. Help me understand this, Dave. On page 7, it refers to back to this historical price of government, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Page 8 looks at a revenue stream or estimated revenue stream.
Yes.
Currently, the manager is saying don't follow page 7, but look at page 8, correct?
Method 1 is on page 7.
So your
method 2 is on page 8, and we're recommending method 2.
Okay, so although the manager all these past years has been using this historical price of government okay, I'm confused.
No. There are two ways to look at this. We look at the historical price of government, but the council has always chosen to follow the revenue methodology.
Okay, thank you.
And frankly, I think that's I like that better.
Okay. All right, so on the method 2, I just want to make sure I understand this. FY07-08 is the current revenue stream, correct?
Yes.
The 7% increase in the ad valorem is the estimated increase.
Yes.
Where did we get the 7%? That looks awful high to me.
Because we've looked at previous building permits. We look at what's in the pipeline. You know, if you have a greater than 10% increase, you schedule it out over a certain number of years. I will say it is a guesstimate, but we've had some conversations with DCAD and not been completely discouraged at that level.
What was last year's number?
Over 10%.
10 plus. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Now, I will tell you that the next year out,
meaning 09, 10,
the building permits are slowing down. So.
Well, because they're slowing down right now.
Right. That's what I'm saying. But well, I do have stuff in the pipeline.
In terms of the slowing of the real estate, we're really a 12-month lag on that.
Okay.
So we're seeing the drop. I would think that for the most part, next year, the year we're talking about, we wouldn't see a drop. We've got about a 12-month lag on that by the time you'd see the slowing of the permits and the slowing of construction.
The valuations are done based on property values as of January 1st, a month and a half ago.
Okay.
So building permits related to that point in time remain strong.
What was the softness in the real estate market, et cetera, if that happens?
Yeah.
So that's where that 12-month lag comes.
And the 7% increase in the ad valorem takes into account any TIFs that we allow, tax abatements, and all those. That's all a netted number.
No, that's on your expense line. Look, we consider that an expense. You see that on those additional expenses on that next page that we're going to have.
Thank you. I see it. I appreciate that. Thank you. The sales tax. What is currently we're looking at 2% decrease. You said something about
2%. 2% one quarter.
One quarter. Okay. But all right, and all we've had in this, we've had. We don't know what February. We're in February. Do you have January? No,
no, we don't have January.
Okay.
All I have is December.
Okay. All right. So this together aggregate is $1.9 billion. All right. Now this, then you flip two pages forward on page 10, it looks at expenditures. This doesn't have a total on this page. These are all just changes, correct?
Well, yes. and they're all subject to discussion.
I mean, and these are presented here for informational. Just, and Ms. Cook's point was correct. The challenge is kind of laid out there.
Well, that's what I was trying to go to. This says $1.9 billion in revenue, and so what would the expenses total to? Because she came up with $30 million short.
The expenses are going to total to a no tax increase budget that you've asked me to do, and there will have to be some give and take in that. I can't tell you what it'll be right now, because I can't tell you if those revenues are right or those expenses are right. I'm giving you a snapshot of my best guess today, and you have said no tax rate increase budget,
okay,
so that's what we're working for.
So you're saying a revenue stream estimate of $1.9 billion. What's the estimated expense stream? $1.96 billion or this $30 million shortfall? I would say $1.96 billion because we have direction and guidance to operate on a no tax rate increase budget.
So where did the 3% of the $30 million come from?
If we were going back in time 8 or 10 years and we were standing here with a briefing, it would look very different than this.
Yes.
It would look a lot like page 10. It would be expense-based. And we would say, here's our cost this year, here's all the changes,
okay.
And oh boy, look at the shortfall.
And here's why we don't do that. Just to Mr. Rozanski's point, this is exactly zero-based budgeting. How much money do I think I have coming in to spend, and then I spend that amount of money. I don't spend any more.
Okay. I'm getting clear. On page 10, Dave or Mary, it talks about adding 200 officers. This is the second or third installment in officers?
Second installment.
Which means we have three more installments to get to 1,000 additional officers. Is that what the original plan was?
Is it a 4-year or 5-year? I thought it was 4 years. I think it's four.
400 to 200 per year.
Yes.
Okay. So this is the second of 4 years. And I think we need to make sure that's very clearly communicated all along here. I ask citizens all the time, you know, there's a great cost of adding officers, anyone resisting, and everyone says no, they want it. Does that include the equipment and automobiles and fully outfit them?
Yes.
We buy one car for every three officers, for instance.
I trust your equations. I just want to make sure we're not just doing, okay. Under civilian merits, it says average 4%. What is our average merit for the current budget cycle?
It was 3% this year.
Okay. And what was our average merit for the previous budget cycle before that?
4%.
So with 4, then 3, then 4. Okay. Average means some are above, some are below. Okay. All right. Okay. You've been good with answering questions. I'm ready to visit about the capital budget whenever the manager's ready to present information on that, because to me, as one council member, that's all part of the tax revenue, and it's all part of the expenditure, and you really can't segregate the two, in my opinion.
Well,
but
the only reason you can segregate them, and that you kind of have to, we will include them somewhere in this process, is that planning was done when the bond program was put together.
True,
you
Mary.
Planned
but,
5 years
but,
out.
True, but previous councils, you would agree, have deferred implementation of bond programs because of elasticity in revenue, correct?
Right.
And that
not,
could be,
not very often.
I'm not suggesting that to this council at all, but I'm saying as we look at the revenue and the expenses, it's part of our discussion process.
It'll try
to determine that, so that is fair, and that should be part of the
discussion.
It
will be included in your discussion.
Okay, and it should be earlier rather than later, so that way we can look at all the pieces coming together.
Well,
because in the end, we have to sell this back to the citizens.
Right, but in the end, it needs to be, there's a balance here about earlier and later because you don't have information, and you don't want to make a drastic decision that you might be required to make until you've got the most possible information you can have. I'm going to bring, for the next several months, y'all are going to be deeply immersed in this budget process. And I will be sure you have all the information to make decisions and to sell to your constituents.
Thank you, ma'am.
I'm sorry. Mr. Natinsky, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I guess my comments are that I'm more inclined to be safer now and then find ourselves sorry later. I think the manager's suggestion of going forward based on a revenue basis is the safer way for us to go. My question, Mary, when you keep using the term no tax increase, that includes the factoring in of the projected amount of dollars that we need to service the debt for the 06 bond program or not?
Okay. Well, you stole the bond program. You said there'd be tax rate increases, and when you tell me there'll be no tax rate increase, that includes covering the expense of that bond program
just want to make sure that everybody understands that because there was, you know, last year during the budget thing, we, you know, there were discussions about, well, we're not raising tax rate, but we have these extra money that we already had previously committed to. So, you know, while I hate to get caught up in what sometimes becomes a media extravaganza of, you know, we're going into a recession or a depression or whatever, and find ourselves being sold into that, I think we are going to be affected by some of the economic issues that are occurring far more severely in other parts of the country. We may not be impacted as much, but it's going to impact us. And so as much as I don't want to get sucked into that, I think we need to be very, very conservative. At the same time, as we go through the budget, we have heard repeatedly from the citizens that they want good, efficient, effective government, and they are willing to pay for it. They want police protection. They want fire protection. They want good city services. So somewhere in that is the balance that we have to deal with in providing that and telling them that if indeed that's the level of services that they want, then they're going to have to pay an appropriate level of taxes to cover those services. The other thing that always comes up at budget time is while we are dealing with close to $2 billion worth of expenses, there are always those in there that when it comes crunch time at the budget, that nobody is willing to cut. Okay. So please remember that, colleagues, if indeed we're trying to get to the finish line of providing good, efficient government at a cost that the citizens can afford and are willing to pay, there may be things that have to be taken out, because I will tell you, there's a lot of stuff in the budget that I catch a lot of flack in, and I'm sure each of you individually catch flack on various line items, that people always show up at the town hall meetings. You mean you're spending money on this? And those are the items that are the tough decisions as to can we get consensus on taking them out. Mary, this is going to be a continually moving target. You're asking us today to make a decision 6 months out. And I want, well, I don't want to make the decision without having adequate information. I don't want to find ourselves in the position that we're 30 days from making that decision, and you're spending so much staff time continually redoing numbers on a month-by-month basis that maybe we're not seeing the forest for the trees. So at what time, can you give us sort of a time frame as to when the decision that we need to be made, that you're asking us to make today, what other opportunities are we going to have so that we don't find ourselves 30 days out from adopting the budget and asking you to generate reams and reams of new numbers based on, you know, information you get in July?
The beauty of this system is that you won't. You give me a guideline of what the price of government should be. We ask the departments to bid services to support your key focus areas, and those are ranked. Now, when we exceed the amount that we have to spend, we cross a line, but there are ranks below that, so that if there are additional things you want to spend or above you don't want to spend, and so it's easy enough to adjust that. It's a guideline to begin this process. And that is one of the nice things about this process. It doesn't require a lot of refiguring and mechanizations when we look and say we need less at the bottom line or more at the bottom line.
Well, colleagues, I'm more inclined of having Mary, I think last year it was an orange line, Mary.
Yes.
You know, putting the orange line at a point that is very, very conservative and will enable us to provide good, efficient services throughout the year, rather than hearing some of the comments that we just heard that because of the revenue stream this year, we may end up having to trim some things. Now, some of the things that you mentioned don't bother me at all. I mean, if a few less people travel around, that may save us a few dollars, and I don't think the citizens really care. But if it starts impacting the core city services, then we've got problems. And I, for one, don't want to have to come back in the middle of the year, next budget, next fiscal year, and tell citizens, by the way, you know, we're cutting this service that they were excited about midterm. I would rather, I guess, deal with it going in. And if we have extra money in the last couple of months prior to the addition, to the adoption of the budget, then get a number from Mary that, you know, you've got another $10 million to spend or you've got another $15 million to spend, and, you know, find out which items we pull above the line at that particular point. So based on what I've heard so far, I'm inclined to go with the, I guess, call it the number two option, if that's as conservative as we could possibly get. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much. Anybody else?
Mary.
Dr. Rossi, please. Thank you, Mayor. And I think Mr. Natinsky went through the whole process real well. The price determination of government didn't come from TANEO. We have the citizens' involvement. We went to town hall meetings when we asked them. We have a big get-together here at the convention center, Mayor, if I remember correctly, where people was invited to come and say, how much are you willing to pay for each service? Now, that was 2 years ago, Mary? Three years ago. After that, we have analyzed the price of government. And for all my new colleagues, I totally understand that might be a little confusing to see this frame set at this point. But last year, we were all here when we voted for the budget. We said, and we guided the staff to bring early in the year the frame of where we were going to start the budget process, and that's what we have right here. The methodology that we are going to use, the manager is recommending a methodology that will start from the zero in every department, and colleagues, as we move forward, like Mr. Natinsky mentioned, every single department will come with their budget. So when we're close to October, nobody can say, well, someone will say it, but that we were not involved in the process, that we did not start from zero, that we did not know the methodology, that we did not have information, because that's exactly what we're doing today. We are putting that information out for everybody to see. I understand what Mr. Newman says about we start early in the process, but as the process continues, we will get more involvement, trust me. We will start getting all the groups that are below that line that we have moved several times, right, Mr. Natinsky, over the years, up and down. And sometimes we like it and sometimes we hate it, but we move that line. Right now, this is a conservative point where we start. It's open to the public for review. We know where we are, so no one can say later on that we didn't start early in the process. Today is February. What day is today, Mr. Mayor? The 20th. Okay, so in the second month of the year, we start on the budget. And thank you, Mary. I hope that this time we don't have to go through all those huge books at the last minute, that when we can put it in the internet and we all can see it and analyze it from February the 27th. By October, I hope this time we're in better shape. Thank you, Mayor.
Appreciate everyone. Just to reinforce a couple of comments. Again, this is preliminary effort. We're way in advance, but again, what we're trying to do is give staff direction on where to go from a planning standpoint. So I think we want to be careful not to get too excited about trying to take this to the third decimal point. I think the key things to keep in mind are the bigger messages. We want to go forward without a tax increase. Clearly, that's going to be a challenge in the economy that we're going to see. But nevertheless, that's going to get us, and again, I think this is where it's not just falls on the shoulders of the staff, but also the shoulders on us, to start thinking about what sort of things, what sort of options, what sort of actions can we take to make sure that we hold that. In a lot of ways, this is zero budget. I mean, to the extent we could literally take the line down to zero and have no services and then start building it back up. And we can always discuss a given service, the value, and that sort of thing, and that will be the purpose of all of the discussions that we go into. But it is designed to try to take it down and put anything in, take anything out that we may so choose. But again, I think the big messages are no tax increase. Clearly, we're going to have to make some projections. We'll get additional information on what the revenues are projected to be. But again, that's no different than any other household or any other business or any other nonprofit in this entire city has to deal with. So with that, if it seems the comfort of the consensus of the council, and we'll go ahead and direct the staff to go ahead and, again, continue in the planning process more than anything else. Use kind of that base number of the 1.967 number to go for. And, again, stressing, this is a preliminary number, and it is going to change. It may go up, it may go down, but I think the probability that it stays there is probably the least of the cases. Is everybody comfortable with that, at least going forward on plan? Again, we're going to have continuing conversations. We don't need a motion. I think consensus will do it. I know Ms. Coop had a comment, though.
Yeah, I think it's just on for briefing anyway, so I don't think you can vote on. But, you know, I'd be happy to do that. But I want to point out one more time so that everybody understands that really and truly, if you these things on page 10 are things that I couldn't imagine that any of us would cut out of the budget, because one of it has to do with police officers and their pay. wastewater capital costs. Of course, that's a kind of a neutral thing because it's the same amount that's added in on the revenue side. Retiree health benefits and so on and so forth. General obligation debt service and so on and so forth. Things that probably we are not, that we wouldn't be willing to cut because they're meat and potatoes, and that still represents a 3% decrease. So just as long as everybody knows that. Okay.
I think.
Be prepared to make some very tough decisions as we go through this, because I don't see that the economy is going to pick up as well.
And Ms. Coop, I think as you pointed out, there's a gap, that in effect 3% gap that's got to be dealt with, even as the first element of the process anyway. So with that, we'll go ahead, Mary, if you're comfortable, just give you a consensus to go ahead and go forward on that. Now, given the time, what I'm going to do is there's a couple of questions that have to be answered on some earlier voting agendas. I apologize for doing this, but I'm going to have to bring us back at 3 o'clock for an executive session. So 3 o'clock for an executive session. We will try to go through that in as quick a fashion as we can. I'm anticipating that will be 45 minutes to an hour. Then we'll come back into a public session, hopefully in that 3:45 to 4:15 time frame. Get rid of the agenda items, and if there's any speakers, we'll go ahead and do that. Again, speakers do not have to have a quorum, so I'll go ahead and be present for that. And then, again, we will pick it back up this evening. I would put on the record that we will have the special meeting tonight. That, of course, is going to be the Dallas Executive Airport at 5303 Challenger. We'll begin the meeting at 6:30 p.m. Vans will depart from L1 Green at 5:30 p.m. with a variable time anticipated to be around 6 p.m. So if you plan to drive, you'll be directed to the hangar by the Dallas Police Department officers. We'll look forward to seeing everybody tonight. So again, we will reconvene at 3 o'clock for an executive session. Then somewhere between 3:45 and 4:15, we'll come back into a public session. And then we'll pick up speakers after that. At 5:30, there'll be a van at L1, the green. So just the main entrance that you, right near your parking slots. So with that, okay, we'll be adjourned at this point. And again, at 11:15, or no later than 11:30, if you, as I mentioned to some of you who are going to go, make sure that you're at the water entrance outside.
Mayor, the agenda, we will continue at 3 o'clock, you say?
We will continue with an executive session at 3 o'clock, and we'll pick up the agenda then at 3:45 to 4:15, somewhere in there. That will be a relatively quick one. Then we'll go to speakers. The reality of it is the briefing B, which was current wage provisions for city contracts, that will have to be rescheduled for another time.
Okay. We will do the voting on the boards and commissions as well.
That will be the 3:45 to 4:15.
At 3:45.
Well, I'm anticipating that session, the public session, will only be about 15 minutes. We will go ahead and do an expedited speakers after that. That does not need a quorum. I will be present for that. So, you know, you're going to have to measure your own time. We clearly are going to be squeezed on time, and we understand that. Okay. I appreciate it. We're adjourned. We're in reset right now. Let me put one thing into the record, though, if I could, please. It's now 10:56 p.m. The City Council will now go into a closed session beginning at 3 p.m. under Section 551.071 of the Open Meetings Act to receive advice from and consult with the City Attorney on the following matters described on today's agendas: Jennings versus Martinez, AHF Community Development versus the City of Dallas, Bolton versus the City of Dallas, Hathaway versus the City of Dallas, Irvine versus the City of Dallas, and Cosell and Murphy versus the City of Dallas. Those are legal issues concerning Section 3440G1 of the Dallas City Code. Again, I estimate that will be 1 hour from 3 to 4 o'clock. Thank you very much.
1, 2, 3.
Good afternoon. For the record, the regular session did resume at 4:13 in the afternoon. Item 2 on your voting agenda is consideration of appointments to boards and commissions and the evaluation and duties of board and commission members. You have nominees for individual appointment for full council appointment, as well as 2 nominees for vice chair. Your nominees for individual appointments are Barbara Tucker Perry to the Commission on Productivity and Innovation, Qualification is information technology, nominated by Councilmember Coop. Mandy Valasek to the Environmental Health Commission, nominated by Councilmember Newman.
Dr. Acida has moved it. Mr. Salazar has seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any objections? So ordered. Well, I think they're saying the PA's on, but we don't have a recording device. Why don't we get the tape recorder so we can go forward?
Is this the one that works? I had a domestic violence task force, and it was moving.
Why don't you come sit up next to me?
Yeah, thank you. Good afternoon. For the record, the regular session did resume at 4:13. Item 2 on your voting agenda is consideration of appointments to boards and commissions and the evaluation and duties of board and commission members. You have individual appointments, full council appointments, as well as 2 nominees for vice chair. Your nominees for individual appointment are Barbara Tucker Perry to the Commission on Productivity and Innovation. Qualification is information technology, nominated by Councilmember Coop. Mandy Valasek, nominated to the Environmental Health Commission by Councilmember Newman.
Dr. Garcia.
More approval.
Ms. Coop seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any objections to order?
Your nominees for full council approval are James A. Nunez to the Building Inspection Advisory Examining and Appeals Board, qualification registered architect, nominated by the city manager, and Frederick W. Tolman, special qualification is fire protection engineer, nominated by the city manager.
It has been moved by Ms. Hill and seconded by Mr. Atkins. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any objections? So ordered. Madam Secretary.
You have Claudia Fowler, nominated by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Carraway as vice chair to the South Dallas Fair Park Trust Fund Board, and Peter Hill, nominated as vice chair by Councilmember Hill to the Youth Advisory Commission.
Ms. Coop moved it.
Second.
Mr. Radansky seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any objections? So ordered. Madam Secretary.
Your next item is consideration of appointments of members to the Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport Board. We do have 3 vacancies on this board, but nominees for only 2. Those are for places 4, which contains 2 nominees, Jan Colmer and Forrest Smith, and for place 6 is Robert Sue.
The other slot, there is...
For place 9.
For place 9, there's a nominee, but the record is not complete on that, so we will not be able to consider that. So that will be a holdover until. Mr. Titsky, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm going to make two motions. The first one is a move approval of Robert Hsu to the airport board.
Second.
Mr. Natitsky moved and Mr. Rozanski seconded for Robert Hsu to be on the airport board, place 6. All those in favor signify by saying
aye.
Aye.
Are there any objections? So ordered. Mr. Natitsky.
And the second one, Mr. Mayor, I'm going to ask that the council hold the other space for 2 weeks and get on our agenda in 2 weeks. There seems to be some issues that have come up regarding that.
Second motion.
It has been moved and seconded.
Discussion, Mayor. Point of order. What is the paperwork that is not ready? Why are we deferring it?
There are still some outstanding
applications
due to the city in regard to place number 9.
What are the obligations owed to the city on place number 9?
No,
who is it? Michael Sorrell, no, who's currently serving as a holdover.
Yeah, we're talking something else.
Yeah, okay.
Mr. Sorrell is not here. I mean, it's not in their voting agenda today.
No, that one is not being voted on. That's because there's no nominees that qualify.
Okay, my question is, why are the issues between Mr. Coleman and Mr. Smith that we are delaying this vote?
Dr. Garcia, I've talked to a couple of council members who asked me to hold those because they have some things they want to discuss with regard to it, so I've made a motion to hold that appointment for the, I guess it's the slot 4 position for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if the candidates are ready to be voted, is that right, Ms. Madam Secretary?
They are ready.
Okay. Are they both clear by your office, by the manager's office, by the city attorney's office?
Yes.
They fulfill all the qualifications?
Yes.
They both were interviewed by the transportation committee?
As far as I understand, they were
interviewed
by the transportation.
Okay, so both candidates are ready to go. The reason we're delaying this, Mr. Natinsky, is because some people have some questions about how they want.
Members approached me and said that they would appreciate if I would make a motion to hold that position for 2
okay.
weeks while they made their mind up.
I get it now. So we.
A
thank
little
you.
More than two.
The motion's on the table. Is there any more discussion on that?
Let me just make a discussion on it. So, Ron, and I appreciate that. I did have a conversation with Ron so that, and I always keep my cards on the table, so that we could do some review and answer just a few more questions. There's no questions about them, just trying to kind of get settled. And instead of pushing it out today with a half, I want to vote on it with full feeling, okay? I do not have a problem with what's the man's name? Jan Coleman. I don't have a problem with Forrest Smith. I want to make sure that there are some other issues, underlining issues, and I never want a council member to have to take the heat from me. I want to step up front. And I did ask Mr. Natinsky if he would to hold on for just 2 weeks to give me an opportunity to get some other items answered so that I would be very clear. And it's also clear that when this vote goes down, it's going to go down 8-7 because it's definitely at the tie manner at this point. So I just want the colleagues to know that I want everybody to know who asked, I asked. And I appreciate you all yielding to that point, but I still have some things that I have to iron out, and it's going to take a couple of weeks.
Yes,
for me.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and I would hope, and I appreciate that, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem, I would hope that you could share with the rest of the council at this time what those other concerns are so that if we share them, we could be either supportive of your motion or oppose this motion.
Well, not wanting to really just discuss and put all of the things that that's on my mind out to the public, and I don't mind sharing some of those things with us. I just don't think this is the proper forum for us publicly to say of some of the things that have been kind of brought to me, and I want to iron them out, get them out of the way, and address them. And whatever we choose to do, I mean, it's fine. I mean, if we go with it, it'll go one way. If we hold on to it, it may be better for us in the long run, just for 2 weeks. I don't think the 7 votes are going to change either way. I think the 7 votes are going to be there, but there's a need for some clarity. We've won with one gentleman, without calling his name, well, Mr. Smith had to signed some papers today, and I honor that because he made a very strong move to make a move just to serve, and I take that under consideration, and that's good. But at the same token, there are still some other issues that are underlying issues that I need to be clear with.
And can you share what those issues are? Because I'm completely unclear. Having nominated this candidate, I'm completely unclear on what.
I didn't say there were issues on him. Just
fine.
Between the two, there are some issues that I'd love to just bring some clarity to.
I would love to bring clarity to what the issues are, Mr. Carraway.
Well, in private, not wanting to put the business out, you know, then I'll share them with you, but I just don't want to go across the microphone with them. I really wouldn't.
You know, it's unfortunate since we do have one of the candidates here that we have asked this gentleman to stay here all day long.
Absolutely.
And it's unfortunate that we're just now learning that there's some interest in delaying this by 2 weeks. I think out of a courtesy to that candidate, it's inappropriate to ask this person who's here with the council ready to vote. It's very disappointing to me that we would wait to this point to suddenly decide to delay this.
Well,
for reasons that aren't clear, that aren't stated, and for which there's no clarification. So I will tell you, Mr. Mayor, I'm disappointed. I do want to make some clarification, because Mr. Carraway, as you did point out, Mr. Forrest Smith, who is with us today, had filed some papers with the city secretary this morning.
Correct.
As he had indicated he would in his first application to the city for this appointment. His law firm had conducted business with the city of Dallas, and he indicated that he would resign from that law firm.
Correct.
Upon his approval to this board. He's done so this morning, is that correct, Mr. Smith? He did so this morning, and he filed that paperwork with the city secretary's office. And also, I think Mr. Perkins, if you could come up for just a moment. As I understood, there are no legal impediments whatsoever to Mr. Smith being appointed to the DFW board. Is that correct?
There are no legal impediments to his appointment. That is correct.
Thank you. So I just want to make clear to everyone that all appropriate steps have been taken to make sure that Mr. Smith has complied with absolutely every requirement to be appointed to this board. So, thank you.
Mr. Okay.
Thank you. Colleagues, Mr. Carraway did ask me if we would hold this over for 2 weeks. I know that I've been here for a long time. I can't ever remember us turning a council person down who wants to hold something over for 2 weeks. It's a reasonable request. I want to honor that request. I'm going to support his request, and I don't think it's unreasonable. This is things that we have done in the past. I just don't remember us ever turning any council member down who asked for a reasonable delay. I do remember one council person who's asked for 7 delays on something, on a zoning case. We finally ruled against her. So, oh, did it? You know what I'm talking about. Mayor, let's have a little jovial. Let's have a little lively action here, too. Anyhow, Duane, I concur with you, and I will support you. And colleagues, this is something we have done in the past. This is, we need to honor this. I will honor what you want. Thank you.
Ms. Hill, did you?
Thank you, Mayor. I am extremely disappointed in this motion and in Mr. Carraway's late discomfiture. We have known about the possibility of these appointments for a very long time. We have the opportunity to ask any questions we wish to ask. We have more than ample opportunity to clarify any issues that we have. I find it difficult to believe at this late hour that Mr. Carraway has any substantive issues which have not been cleared up.
It is not fair to the rest of the council to wait until the 13th hour and pull an appointment. I do not know how Mr. Carraway intends to vote, but it is nonetheless unfair to the council. It is certainly unfair to Mr. Smith to have had him get all of his paperwork in order, sit here the entire day, and at this late hour to claim that one has unresolved issues, issues which one is unwilling to share with the rest of the council. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Anything else? Motion has been made.
No, you have some more, then I'm going
to say.
Thank you, Mayor. I think we just need to go on with the vote at this point. Either we're going to vote yes or we're going to vote no. And let's just move forward and just let the chip fall where they may.
Motion's been made. All those in favor of the motion to delay 2 weeks, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
We'll go roll call.
Discussion before we do this. You know, because I don't want my colleagues to be disappointed, but let me tell you something. If we were, number one, if I find out that I have a problem, and if it's at the umpteenth hour, I have the right to express it and to put myself in a position of making the right decision. It is no one's position with me, as I represent who I represent in my district, to force me to have to do it at any point. If I have something that's unsettling, and if I have something that I'm not going to put out on the airways respectfully, because straight up, y'all don't know who it's about. It could be that I have concerns about the other candidate more than this candidate. I may not have a problem with this candidate, but I may need some clarity about this process and some of the other things that are going on. So respectfully, I'm not going to disrespect the person that's here, and I'm not going to disrespect the person that is not here. I'm going to stand on the fact that as a council person, I have, Johnny Taylor told me something. He told me I have the right to change my mind at any point. Now, my mind has not changed as to where I'm going, but I have some questions that I'm needing answers for. And if 2 weeks makes a difference, then we can take the vote. But if we take the vote, then it's not fair. Were you talking about what's not fair? Voting right this minute is not fair because I have some underlying concerns that must be answered. Now, respectfully, I simply ask them and you know, to put it off, and would they? And they agreed to do so. But I'm not going to be pressured into doing anything. And I'm not going to be talked about publicly as though that this is a last-minute situation and it's some kind of shenanigans. It's not about, and I'm going to ask you to be quiet because I'm holding the microphone, and this is the council meeting. Now, I'm saying to you all that I think that we need to be even more fair with our decisions that we make. When there's some unreadiness, respect the fact that I'm not sitting there playing politics. I simply said I'm unready right now for those reasons. Now, if anybody won't be mad at me, so be it. Now, if we take the vote now, then this deal can go a whole different direction. If I'm forced to discuss the things, because some of the things I want to discuss are racial, and I don't want to put those things out on this airway. It doesn't call for it, and it does not make sense. And as I spoke to some folks today, they made me aware of some things that need to bring clarity. And just as we, and I'm going to close up, Mayor, but just as we look for this push, then I got to ask myself, why the push? You know, so I'm not going to play politics with it. I'm going to make the right decision for my constituency. It may sound sad, whatever it is, whatever it sounds like, but I'm going to make the right call, but I'm not going to be pushed. Now, if y'all want to vote it down, then let's vote and see which way it goes. Yeah. And then whatever comes with it, comes with it. It just doesn't matter.
I'm trying to do it
professionally.
We have historically allowed members to delay things on a whole variety of things. Secondly, it is subject to the vote of this council. So the council can go ahead and delay it or not delay it. Like in any situation that we have, the request was made, we can vote it up or we can vote it down. That's the decision of the council. Did you want to make any other comment?
I did. Thank you.
Ms. Hunt? Personnel is employment. I think we're going to be challenged. This unfortunately doesn't fall into the personnel qualification. Tom, do you want to make a comment? Your agenda specifically states that a closed executive session may be held if the discussion of any of the agenda items concerns one of the following, and number four is personnel matters involving the appointment, employment, evaluation of duties of a public officer or employee for or against the city. So to the extent that there is an agenda item that allows you under the personnel rules, and the voting agenda item is consideration of appointment to members of the Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport Board. Closed session is necessary under the personnel rules. So. There's been a motion made. Do I have a second? Second. It is seconded by Ms. Medrano. The voting then will be as follows. We'll vote to see if we go into it. No. We will vote to see if we go into executive session. If yeah, that will be. So again, just a moment. We will vote on that. If that passes, we will go into executive session. If it does not, then we'll proceed to the roll call vote on the motion to delay for 2 weeks. The first vote is to go into executive session. That will determine then what we do on the second motion. Ms. Cooper, question?
Order. Just to clarify, we took a vote. We took a vote, and you were asking for a roll call. We already took that vote on, right. And so I just were asking the city attorney, since we took that vote, and we were asking for a roll call vote on that, how it works.
That vote has not been concluded. Yeah. Right. They call for a roll call vote was made, so we should go to roll call.
I'm sorry, John. From a parliamentary standpoint, do we have to complete that vote, or is it open to entertain another motion?
Bear with us just a moment.
It's a fair question. We'll just get the answer. I have been advised that because we started the vote, we will go to a roll call vote. That also becomes the ruling of the chair. We'll go to a roll call vote. This is on the motion. This is on the motion to delay for 2 weeks. The motion we've got to complete first. This is a motion to delay for 2 weeks. If we go ahead and pass this, then it will be delayed for 2 weeks. If we do not, then we'll entertain the motion for executive session and proceed forward. Madam Secretary?
Roll call vote. Mayor Leppert?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Garcia?
No.
Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Carraway?
Yes.
Councilmember Medrano?
Yes.
Councilmember Newman?
Yes.
Councilmember Hill?
No.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Councilmember Davis?
No.
Councilmember Atkins?
No.
Councilmember Cadane?
Yes.
Councilmember Allen?
Yes.
Councilmember Coop? Councilmember Natinsky?
Yes.
Councilmember Rezanski?
Yes.
Councilmember Hunt?
Yes.
Voting in favor are Mayor Leppert, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Carraway, Councilmember Newman, Councilmember Salazar, Councilmember Cadane, Councilmember Allen, Councilmember Coop, Councilmember Natinsky, Councilmember Rezanski. Voting opposed are Mayor Pro Tem Garcia, Councilmember Medrano, Councilmember Hill, Councilmember Davis, Councilmember Atkins, and Councilmember Hunt. Motion passes with a vote of 9-6.
We'll consider the item in 2 weeks. With that, that completes our agenda. Madam Secretary, could we go to our afternoon speaker, please?
Your afternoon speakers begin with Ozumba Newick, followed by Leslie Davis. Mr. Newick is not present. Next speaker, Leslie Davis, followed by Marvin Crenshaw. I will first recite the speaker guidelines, please. Citizens and other visitors attending city council meetings shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the city council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks who become boisterous while addressing the city council or while attending the city council meeting shall be removed from the room if the sergeant at arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the city council during that session of the city council. You will see the timer on one screen. You'll notice you have 3 minutes to speak. At 30 seconds, the numbers do turn amber. When you see the red number at zero, please stop speaking. Please state your name for the record.
Leslie Davis. Fruit.
Leslie, last time you did it in 2 minutes. You going to beat that?
Yes, sir. Y'all been on council 6 days, 15 hours, and about 45 minutes. From now on, eat, drink, sleep, sloth, spit, and do all that. And when we get ready to speak, I need your undivided attention. I need laptop down. I don't need to eat. I don't need to go to the restroom. I want to get all I got is 180 seconds. 10 is over 180 seconds. That's one. Virginia reading a new state of art sound system. Just a while ago, we had a President Hopeful in town, and the sound system was of poor quality. Needs a state of art sound system. And needs to make this a disabled vet. There needs to be a hospital in the southern sector to serve the disabled vets. That needs to be put forth for any hotel or anything. We need a hospital for the disabled that's coming back from the Iraq-Iran war. That'll help good jobs to the people of the city, have a place for the veterans to make a city with this like Highland Park, just like that. We need to have the GAO to study, do an audit on DART, see if we can not money's worth. We need the police department to have a review from them and have a hiring freeze study all the parts from head to toe. And need to do a probe on AT&T, have somebody from MIT to study them, because AT and NASA is at the cutting edge, and we won't be able to see the new technology they don't have online already. I think they spying on my phone calls. They won't give me good service calls. I haven't paid my bills. They won't give me good service no more. And I got time then. The CDC needs the Centers for Disease Control needs to put a crack team in the Dallas area to find out what this new germ that got passed around in the city of Dallas. And we need trash cans and trash in all our business and apartments where people have a sense to put their trash in the trash and sit on the ground. And I recommend Joyce Farmer to the DART board. and Kyle President to get him to get the whales in the drug cartel and not the amoebas in the drug business, because the amoebas, it's so many amoebas, you can't keep count, but if you get the whales, that'll slow the amoebas down. Somebody understand where I'm coming from. We don't need no gambling, no lottery, and the bingo should be phased out within a year. This is the Bible Belt. We don't need gambling. We need God. Put God first. And as anything else, I got 1 minute, man. You know, in all your decisions, put God first in your decision making, and don't forget to pray in the faith. And trust in the Lord, He will direct your path. You gotta trust Him and acknowledge Him in all your ways. Just say something about God, and He'll step in and guide you in the sea. You won't have no heart attack. Your hair won't be falling out. You won't have no stroke or nothing. You won't have, you will work at rest like Adam was when in the garden. Work at rest. And, thanks so much. Support Israel, support Jerusalem. I got 37 words. Oh, my time. Because I only do this once a week. Will I be on TV? I'm in conflict with Israel right now. If I say anything out of turn, I won't be on TV again.
We'll see you next time. We'll see you next time.
Give my 19 seconds. I'm rolling. I only get it once a week. You just follow for time. Give me a
can't do that. We appreciate you being here.
All right,
thank you.
Next speaker is Marvin Crenshaw, followed by Jerlene Gate Collins. Mr. Crenshaw is not present. Jerlene Gate Collins is not present. Next speaker, Frank Ward, followed by William Hopkins.
Good afternoon. My name is Frank Ward, Minister Ward. Several weeks ago, I was talking about the community development project for my community, and the city attorney came before the council and said that he would brief you all on it. I haven't heard anything else about it and had been requesting a meeting. In honoring and celebrating the Black History Month, first of all, I want to give all glory to God and thanking Him for the victory. I want to say something about DISD, Dallas Independent School District, which I am a product of that school district. There was turmoil in the district before Dr. Edwards, and he was successful the 5 years he was here, and there's been turmoil since Dr. Edwards. I heard on the news about 25 teachers losing their jobs because of poor tests for the students. Unless these teachers are teachers that are singled out because they are bad teachers and the system just don't want them, I stand in a protest against the firing of those teachers, because teachers cannot make students test grades. Teenagers, it is natural. We all pass being our teen years. Those are the rebellion years. And I personally know of teenagers that are gifted, very intelligent, but they're bored with school because they're looking towards womanhood and manhood, and they're just not applying themselves. They just want to get through school. So I think that you really ought to look into another way, even if it comes to cutting school short. I see the clock has really speeded up since I talked. Y'all shouldn't do that. But anyway, maybe we should end high school at the 10th grade and let the 11th or 12th grade be 2 years in junior college, and maybe 2 years into a four-year school they could get a bachelor's degree, and the next 2 years they could work towards their master's. But we got to find a way to reach our young people. I have a passion to talk to 7th and 8th grade students. I would love to be able to do that. I would love also, I share with my council person, to be able to minister to the homeless in the new shelter. I think that because of the system that y'all are under, you're kind of overlooking some of your most gifted and talented people. We may not have college degrees, but we are the true anointed people. We have dreams and visions and goals and plans just like you do. We want to live a good life just like you do. And I don't think really having a college degree require for you to have a good life. I think a lot of things I've contributed to this city that I have not received credit for. And I'm not begging for credit, but I'm just asking for an opportunity to contribute, to be inclusive, not exclusive. You can talk to Reginald Hurry, which is in your park department, of some of the things that I shared last week. And this project, everything that's been built for its community development in the last 3 years has been built on my foundation. It's been built on my dreams and my vision and my project. The project was called Seed.
Yeah, I'm going to make a comment. Ms. Watt, hold on. Let me just, before I lose my thoughts, okay? I won't just respond to you. I don't always respond, and I don't always agree with you. But you said something that I want to agree with and just kind of put a little light on to. And you mentioned and you talked about the kids. Number one, this is the city council, and your argument is fair, but it has to fall on the ears more of DISD. And I know that you've gone down there, but you need to go back down there some more. But let me say this in agreement with what you said about the firing of the teachers. I personally understand exactly what you're talking about, and we do have some teachers that may need a little tuning up a little bit. But at the same token, I happen to know some mothers that have kids, and the mother is sending those kids to school. The mother makes sure that those kids are fed in the evening and are clothed to go to school. But when those kids get to school, those kids choose not to respect and appreciate what that particular household has provided them, thus putting that responsibility on the teacher. So when that kid gets an F, even though there is an effort at home or in some homes, the teacher bears that responsibility, if you kind of communicate where I'm trying to go with it.
Exactly.
Now, at the same token, you have some households that neglect the children, where you have kids trying to and only have the need to have the love at home in reverse order, that they don't get there. Thus, when they get to school, they are kind of hampered when it comes to meeting that learning curve. Now, I'll close with this to say that the mayor has a program that, do we still have a quorum?
Three. We don't need a quorum.
Yep. Here comes Mr. Atkins. The mayor has a program, and that I take hats off to, because as he addresses the dropout rate, the new effort that we're focusing on and that he's leading the charge on, focusing on, it is trying to give the scholarships not to the senior, this man right here, not to the senior in high school, but trying to give it to the ninth and tenth graders to give them a reason to have a scholarship and a reason to come back and complete the 11th and 12th grade. So that's kind of in reverse order, and I thought it was a pretty corporate good idea that he's exemplified the leadership on. In other words, here's a ninth grader that he has no reason to come back for the 10th grade. He has no reason to come back to the 11th grade. But giving him the scholarship in the 9th and 10th grade and not waiting till his senior year gives him a reason as a 9th grader and a 10th grader to come back and complete his education because he has something at hand that he can look forward to. So I just wanted to share that with you so you can know that there's some concentration on it. But this is not the forum that can do all about it, but we're going to do what we can do about it. But I enjoin you in your effort talking about the teachers. I do understand it, and it all starts at that house. And until we get the house and the parents in line, the teachers, and just like at a political rally, and I won't call a name, but it was said today how we need to turn the TV off and put the household back in place. And those are the type of efforts that I
can share. The rock
that time's up. Appreciate it very much. Our next speaker, Madam Secretary.
Yeah, thank you. I just want to say that.
Yeah. Madam Secretary.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I hope something else
Your next speaker is William Hopkins, followed by B.M. Randolph. Mr. Hopkins is not present. B.M. Randolph, followed by Gwen Wooten.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I am Mother B.M. Randolph. I live here in the city of Dallas, a place that I said I never would dwell. Because of one historical event, I was satisfied living in a little small town near Waco called Riesel, Texas. But God came and founded me. And just to make a long story short, to know what my history was, which I no longer identify with, I said, I am the ex-Miss Jonah. And those of you who are not familiar with the book of Jonah in the Bible, I would suggest you read that and let you know what can happen to a person who disobeys God. But see, God is a God. They say a second chance. No, we blew second chance a long time ago. He is God of the nth chance. So, make a long story short, I'm here to make a difference. FJC is my... I'm here to make a difference. That's the name of my company name, is Making a Difference. FJC, superscript, like a power in mathematics, it stands for Jesus Christ, helping people. That's the purpose for which I was born, and that's the purpose for which I will die. And I'm going to have to say it. I don't want to go negative, but the city of Dallas has tested me sorely. Currently, I only have my fingerprints for my identification. I am a victim of identity theft and a whole lot of other negative issues, of which I've been working now with the council to help to resolve these things. I was first trying to go at the ground level to resolve these issues, but I am not going, excuse my English, I am an English major, nowhere. Because I told God, after all I've been through, yes, Lord, I have been to mental hospitals more often than I want to say, picked up by Dallas Police DART officers. They didn't tell you that I did a full 360-degree fall at White Rock, landed on my head with my eyeglasses on, fell out the limp, and I don't want to go there. That's for another day. But the thing of it is, I tried for over 2 years to get DART to just at least listen to me. I have been considered disabled and mentally ill. I don't buy into either one of those labels. I had Mr. Chuck Wagner, the supervisor of DART, trying to help me. And then pretty soon, all of a sudden, there is no documentation. When after the incident happened, there was four or five people taking a record. They cannot prove mental illness. I had to go to court against the state of Texas. And because I had attorney God, Jesus, with me, who is my legal attorney, we represented, and the judge ended up saying, looking at me, because I won't call the doctor's name, she was up in the city. I'm a woman of prayer and I'm a prayer warrior. That's all I have. And I go on my knees and that's why I do my battle. So to make a long story short, he looked at me and he said, it's so tight. I wasn't going to give him any help. I was going to let him make that decision on his own. And I just prayed to my father and all he said, he looked at me and he said, ma'am, what do you want? My hands automatically went up there. I am baptized and full of the Holy Ghost. So to make a long story short, he said, you don't need to take any of the medications, whatever, and we cannot find enough evidence to substantiate it. But nevertheless, subsequently, I've had two more mental illness days. All of green. Oh, the last one.
Well, why don't you take just about 10 seconds and conclude?
Okay, I'm here to serve the city of Dallas and eventually to the whole wide world. And I read about everybody because I pray. But when I was reading about Neil Leper running, he said that his major personality was Jesus. I locked in with him like that. So whatever he wants me to do.
Thank you very much. I'm afraid that.
Okay, whatever he wants me to do, I'm here to help the city of Dallas.
Your next speaker is Gwen Wooten, followed by Sandra Crenshaw.
Good afternoon, City Council members and Mayor of the City of Dallas. My name is Wayne Wooten. I have over 100 years roots in the City of Dallas. I didn't come to City Hall since Eric Johnson was the mayor. I don't come down here to meet nobody. When I come down here, I'm coming down here to talk about issues of concern to me. And issues of concern to me is housing. in the city of Dallas for poverty-stricken people. I'm talking about, I'm not talking about no $15,000 housing or apartments in downtown Dallas with buildings too big to pay the light bill. And I'm talking to the city manager of the city of Dallas. I'm talking to the mayor, the council, and everybody down here. They done changed the city charter, and the citizens voted not to change the city charter. So I guess the city manager and the mayor last year got together and said, well, we gonna rewrite it. The personnel, the employees of the city of Dallas, and the elected officials of the city of Dallas are not under the supervision of the city manager. The city council are to supervise her. And she definitely needs supervision when I come in here and I don't see no black history. That just infuriates me. You got pictures at the art museum, you got history at the library, and when I come down here and I don't see nobody in this building that's black. In Black History Month, when you celebrate the 4th of July every day, surely we should have 1 month. Now, I know the city management form of government. I've been down here since the 70s. And I have never seen a form of government like this. I've never known that the city manager was supposed to supervise city council. I thought the city council was supposed to supervise her. And I think she's not very nice to totally disrespect my history this month. I think that's serious and totally disrespectful, and the black city council member should not have let this happen. And if you all had been thinking about your black history, it never would have happened. I have seen less experience concerning the black folks down here representing this city, because I know what you got. I know how many folks each one of y'all got, because I was called to see. And when you're talking about your constituents, and we live in an $80,000 population, and didn't get 10% of the vote, you ain't really representing nobody. You're not representing nobody. I know churches with, I got 3,000 relatives in this city. So I'll be sitting down here talking about your constituents and all the power you got, because you ain't got no power when I talk to both y'all. Folks don't like you no way. Dart. Dart has buses that go to Plano, Farmers Branch. I can wear them white bus heels. That are beautiful. We ride the bus. The bus is filled. It's ragged. It's barely running. What's up with that? It's time for y'all to stop in this power struggle, because you act like you ain't never had nothing. Yeah, but it's the first time I ever had any power, because I was sitting in them seats. And when I got up, I was playing woo. Thank you in advance.
Thank you very much, Madam Secretary.
Your last speaker this afternoon is Sandra Crenshaw, who is not present. That concludes your speakers for this afternoon.
I'm here. We're going to be speaking anyway. I might as well speak.
I called him earlier and was not present. Would you like for me?
That's what. Go ahead.
Last speaker is
My name is Ozuma Lunx. You know, I'm down here because I got arrested in 2004, I think it was, no, 2003, was it, for defending my life. Three different separate times against three or four young men. I don't know what was wrong with the police officer. I was 58 years old. I'll be 68 this May 13th. For defending my life, he put me in jail. That's why I've been down here. I didn't want to come down here. I had counsel. And that operation, a couple of months after, these guys were attacking me. There's a parking hospital. You can check on it. And I was defending my life. And the police officer put me in jail. 58-year-old man, 19 and 20-something-year-old kids, man, because they were teed off at my son. That was wrong. I don't know how you call it. And I get down here, Ozuma, they don't think nothing was wrong. Well, they're lying. Something was wrong. Let me do you and chase you around. And let me put a gun on you. And I made a police report out. You did nothing. And then I found out, after investigating, being a private investigator, I found out she even railroaded my son in the center. Man, let me tell you, was it Judas, Oscar, Judas, that betrayed Jesus? He carried the bag. He carried the money bag. The precious alabaster ornament that Mary Magdalene, I think, rubbed Jesus down with, she said, this could be sold for the poor and everything. He wasn't interested in the poor. He didn't think about Jesus Christ. He sold him out. He carried the money bag. He wanted the money for himself. So he could dip out of it. I guess everyone would have wanted to. But I mean, if they were pointing somebody else to the money bag, he probably would have fell out of fit. But anyway, you know, we have politicians have been in office 18, 20-some years, and they have never given back probably too much or nothing. I'm giving $138,000 back in my term of council in this 4 years if I get it. $77,000 the first 2 years of parking, and 61,000 stretched out over a 4-year period. Now, hey, I'm qualified, certified teachers, police academy, social security police sign. I mean, I got it, you know, private investigator, ex-military, you know, more than enough. You know, so don't be that hype to the guy on radio saying, I'll support my team. Out there running his mouth. He been there long enough to pay $250,000 to $1 million or more. Him and others, they haven't given a penny back to the people. I'm giving to non-profit and to Park and House Pill. Don't bleed a hype. Let them run their mouth. Judy, Pascal, where is your money bag? Put your money up, people. Don't bleed a hype. Slick politicians talk. Run their mouth. I'm giving back to the people that I love. God saved me from cancer, and I say, God, I'm giving back. I have to keep my oath, my faith with God. Thank you all. God bless you. And don't believe it.
Thank you. Thank you very much, counsel. Madam Speaker, is that it?
That concludes your speaker's justice.
Okay, counsel, we'll reconvene at 6:30, and we will have a Black History presentation on our next city council meeting next Wednesday, all right? So we'll have a joint council meeting. But thank you. At 5:12, this meeting is now adjourned. Recess.